Thank you for.
It was the weirdest thing.
Yes.
So I think it was some kind of like witchcraft. They must have had something satanic or something in there, like an item, or maybe it was had a hex on it or something. But I know I could not go in that place.
That is true, Josetta. That is true. Yes, yes. I do believe that. That is absolutely a God experience. Well, Colin just joined us. Welcome, Colin.
Thank you. Sorry. It ended up, I was late. I ended up cooking the chicken dinner I was going to cook, and then I hurriedly raced and ate some beans.
That's okay, Colin.
Do you want to go eat it and we can wait till you get down? You're probably hungry.
I already ate the rush dinner, and then I was ready and found out I was an hour early, so then I went ahead and started and prepared my chicken dinner, and it went a little bit over, so. It's in there cooking.
That's good. Well, we were.
I do a slow cook.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. It's so hard. We don't see each other's mouth, so we don't know who's going to talk. Colin, do you have anybody coming tonight?
I didn't get a chance to get the email out, which is what
fine.
I was going to do. Do we have many people on the call?
Yeah, you have six.
Well, there should be a lot more than that. Maybe I put the email out.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me
I think the last time was a lot, like 14 or 12 or something.
Well, I'm sending it out to 150 people, and it was people that would be interested in this stuff. So what better than being live where they can ask questions and whatnot? So I'm not fully.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The last time that I went on Michael's line and announced it.
Yeah.
And this week I wasn't able to. But some people just don't, you know, are probably not there yet, and where, you know, they don't understand the depths of the layers of the, I would just say.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I start off.
Deception.
Yeah. Here's the problem is that the people have been so programmed. That's why I start off with the, maybe what I do is I won't go to the taxpayer part of it. I'll just stick with the driver's license part. And
However you're led. It's okay. However you're led. It's fine with me. We're happy. The people that said they wanted to hear you are on the line. So I told them if they have any questions. And you're working on a website, right, Colin?
Yes, I am. It's going to be... cracking the egg. It's already up, but I haven't added anything. Today was such a night. The last 2 days have been really nice. I've been waiting for good weather. And it actually went up to me today, so I had to clean up the patio and do stuff outside and got everything. Okay. You know how it is. And the thing is, I've been working really diligently helping this guy out in Florida who I'd met before. And then he got in contact with me, and I started. I mean, the good news, I got my writing block, if you want to call it that, my writing, no writing streak has been broken because I got all into writing about his case, which is a fraud closure. And that's actually how I started with my education, was on the fraud closure stuff. And that's how I came to know the things I know. Was through all of these cases and helping hundreds of people out, not only in this country, but other countries. So when I had talked to Secret Service and I presented to him a certain way, he goes, oh, my God, I can't believe the judges aren't catching it. And I was like, yeah. And then I waited and I said, that's because the judges are in on it. And then he waits for a minute and he goes, oh, my God, that's nationwide. And I said, well, actually, it's worldwide. And he goes, oh, that's too big for us.
So Colin, also, before as we wait for others to come on, I'm sorry, excuse me, would you like to give the email? And because you changed it. It's not Truthmonger, it's another one, right?
No, it's still Truthmonger6@gmail.com.
Okay, So truthmonger.
truthmonger6@gmail.com. I said I was going to create one, so it would be continued competency training at Gmail. But I've been so busy, I haven't even had time to do that, to be honest with you. And
I hear you.
So, but I have the truthmonger6@gmail.com is
okay.
Good. So that's the place. And I have to do like all the other people. I'm going to have to set up a Patreon thing or something. I don't know. I've never done that before. I've always accepted.
Or donations?
Yeah, I've accepted. I mean, I used to get a few donations. I mean, over the years, I think I've had like a $200 donation one time. And one guy I helped for like 3 weeks sent me $1,000 or something, which got me through practically the rest of that year, to be honest with you. I'm used to living on very little. But as things go up, you know, costs go up. So it's a matter of how much time I can spend on this. And then, you know, people, this is valuable stuff. This is actually the new wave. You know, this you're taking the advanced of the advanced. What I'm sharing with you, Trump does not even know.
Mm.
Okay? None of the Supreme Court judges know this. None of the attorneys know this. Because, in other words, with 3-4 generations, and a generation is basically 15 years now. It's actually faster than that. And a generation means a way of thinking. So look what's happened since COVID. Our whole society, our whole way of thinking has changed in a matter of less than a year. Okay? So that, technically, if you look at history, particularly in the Bible, that would be considered a generation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a shift in the way people think. So people now, there's a shift in the way people act. There's a shift in the way they think. I mean, social distancing has become a norm. People wearing masks has become a norm. People getting vaccines without knowing what's in them, you know, without doing the research, has become a norm. I mean, people burning down buildings and destroying cities without any ramifications or any place, that's become a norm, you know, and on and on and on. I mean, this is absolutely, truly insanity. So what I'm getting at is that this is at least 5 generations away now of programming from one generation to the next, where the parents teach the children, which then teach their children, which then teach their children. That's why that's why I do the cracking the eggshell. People believe that they are the name. People believe that they are the profession. People believe that they are a driver. People believe that they are a taxpayer. People believe that they are a senator, congressman, and all this other thing. And they can't separate in the brain. It's been driven into them. They've been raised this way. It's all in society. You know, people believe they're a Republican. People believe that they're a Democrat, you know. All these labels, you know, they literally believe that they're labels. And the ones that have been perpetuating this is through your public education system, and in particular your colleges. You know, they get a piece of paper that says they got an education, which means you can't argue with them because they learned it in college. You know?
Mm.
And yet when I was in college, I was challenging the professors all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. Because I had been out in the world by that time, and I said, no, that's not how it is. But you know, they don't have any real life experience. Most people don't have a real life experience anymore. You know, like I'll give you one quick example. When I was taking philosophy, I didn't like the guy anyway because he was a snooty tooty, thought he was really something, you know, with the little spectacles and all that. And so he sits there and he opens up the first day. He goes, philosophy is a premise and conclusions. You can argue with the premise. You can argue with the conclusion. So I raise my hand. He goes, yes. And I said, I argue with your premise that that's philosophy. That's supposed to be really fun. Let me try it again. He said, philosophy is a premise, right? You put out a premise. You put something out there, right? Or an assertion, premise. And conclusions. You can argue with the premise or you can argue with the conclusion. I said, I raised my hand. I argue with your premise that is philosophy.
They're all on mute, Colin. So.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to get my own track then.
Yeah, they're all on mute.
Oh.
They could unmute to laugh if they want.
Well, as long as they're wearing the mask while they're muted, we're okay.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
Have
you guys, by the way, have you guys seen the one on BitChute, which shows you what's really at the tip of those testing? It's, first of all, they're not cotton swabs. There's some other kind of silver strands, which, oh, my God, that in and itself is scary as hell. And then the nanobots at the end of that thing, somebody actually got one. They pocketed one. And then they analyzed under microscope or whatever it was, some small, and they could find all of the nanobots that they're, and that's why they're shoving it all the way back to where your brain, the real thin membrane between your brain and your nasal, nasal path, which is, if you think about it for 1 second, all you need to do is tell the person to spit or to sneeze, because that's how we're supposed to be getting. That's why we're wearing a mask, so that as we speak, our spittle is supposed to be coming out, and that's how it's going to spread. So if it's in our spittle, then why you sit there and got to take this swab and go all the way to the back of my neck or up somebody's anus? That should be a clue. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm so almost at the end of my tether these days.
I had read something about that, but I was so upset because I had to test 3 times, but they didn't. I didn't feel they put it back that far. Like I heard people said it really, really hurt and everything, but mine didn't. So I'm hoping and praying it didn't go that far back. But I did read something like that, Colin, and it freaked me out. You know, I'm having a terrible situation in my family with the vaccine. Several members have gotten it. My son's going to get his second shot tomorrow.
Well,
my daughter wants to get it.
All right, let's pray about that right now then. We prayed about it. I prayed about it. I'm going to pray about it again. Lord, we come before you humbled, and we're so sorry for being so stupid, dumb, and ignorant, but that's the way we seem to be. Forgive us for not doing our research before we go ahead and jump in the pool. Forgive us for trusting those people in offices of public trust. Forgive us for failing to do our homework. Forgive us for trusting in you to keep us healthy. Forgive us for failing to eat the right foods to keep our bodies healthy so our antibody system will work properly. Forgive us for all these things, Lord. Excuse me?
I'm sorry. I started the recording.
Okay.
It's a good prayer.
So, Lord, we lift up my sister here. We lift up everybody who has been stupid, dumb, and ignorant and failed to do their homework so that they know not to get the test and not to get the vaccines and to do the research. Lord, we ask forgiveness. And, Lord, I am coming here and intervening on their behalf. And, Lord, I've come to you many times on this. It is a right for people to be dumb, stupid, and ignorant, and even lazy. It does not give anyone the right to take advantage of it or to misuse them or to abuse them. So again, in your court, Lord, I'm bringing it forth that fraud is fraud. Fraud is intended to deceive, and the people have been deceived. So, Lord, I'm intervening to let all those people who, without or unknowingly or stupidly or foolishly, however you want to put it, have gotten the test or gotten the vaccine, that, Lord, I'm asking you to protect them anyway. I'm asking you, whatever bots were in there, whatever stuff was in there that they put in there, it was harmful to their body, that it just be completely defeated, and it would actually somehow cause them to be healthier. And, Lord, I'm just asking forgiveness. I'm repenting on their behalf. Please, 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 Lord, get rid of this evil. Can we just get rid of the evil once and for all? I'm asking in Christ's name, so shall it be.
Thank you. It's your Lord. Thank you.
Oh, boy. This is so frustrating sometimes. I mean, it's like you're watching your child walking towards hot tar. And you keep yelling at them, and they go, but it smells nice. Let's stay away from the hot tar. You know? And there's a video out, which I just saw. I'll share it with you. So you don't have to do all the research. But you can watch a video that will show you where somebody did do all of the information and research. And there should be it right there. Let me see if I can get back to it again because they wanted me to log in. And this is on Brighton, Brighton. Come on, come on, come on. This is
Brighton.
Yep, Brighton.
Oh, B Brighton.
So it's bright.
Oh, I see.
Eon, bright eon. Come on, come on. Could you do the redo the internet, please? Apparently, I don't have internet. Yes, I'm not. Internet's not working. I'll give that to. Okay, in fact, somebody sent it to me. I can do it that way. Hold on a minute. I'm trying to find. Wow. Oh, I got hundreds of emails. You really can't even stop for a second. You get.
I know how you feel.
Email.
Believe me.
You know, the thing is, like, I'm going to address something that somebody sent me a question earlier about the discharge of debt, and I will share with you. Let me see if I have it here.
Yeah, that one's good.
So let me see. I'm just going to put this in here. Do-do-do. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. There we go. Got it. And just so you know, Google has been messing with me big time. They're messing with my email. Oh, yeah, they're messing with all sorts of stuff. I'm not getting email. My emails are not getting out. I mean, they've been unbelievable. And even on my phone, I've been getting calls that to distract me for a long time. So. Let me see what I can do here, too. So forgive me. I'm just taking care of this real fast. Let me do this.
Take your time. And, we're starting. We're starting. However you want to go ahead.
All right.
I'll let you know if someone comes on new.
All right. Yeah, that'd be good. And I do need somebody who, again, I want to do the cracking the eggshell again. C-H-U-R, Thursday, now, call. So I'm going to send this to everybody. Hold on one second. I need to, because I mean, this is all new stuff for me, so I'm learning.
Right.
Not to be rude, but it's really dealing with children. It's just so amazing. It needs grown adults that are children. If you tell them it's every week, you actually have to send them a reminder email.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear you.
You have to tell them what to do all the time. It's just what?
I hear you. I was thinking, Colin, as an idea that I'm probably going to work on with some of the callers, because is have like send an email with a card that they can cut out with the times and the phone number and keep it on the refrigerator. Because I don't know what else to do.
Well, I'm setting it up. It's taken me a long time, but I have some people now that are finally helping me. I got somebody else put together the continued competency training. So what's going to happen is once I download these audios, I didn't realize that I have them on my phone, so I'm going to download this or upload the audios so that people can access them at any time. And then it'll be on the website, and I'm going to figure out or talk to somebody if there's any way we can send out an automatic email to all the people. So I acknowledge it. We can do. So we're working on that. Okay.
When you figure that out, let me know.
Oh, definitely.
Is Pam? Yeah, Pam. Pam, do you know how? Pam?
Bug, get out of my drink. Come here. Come here. Got a fruit fly in my drink. Oh, well, more protein.
How's the weather in Maryland?
Oh, it's amazing. I've been waiting all this time. It's so amazing. Oh, my God. It's like 8 degrees today. I can't believe it. The dogs were running crazy. 80 degrees.
Oh, 80.
People even turned their air conditioners on. It's like, oh, are you kidding me?
Oh. That's beautiful weather, yeah. Mm. We don't have that yet here in Illinois.
No, I feel so sorry for you in Illinois, but that's another story. So,
but we hit 68. That's like a heat wave.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
That is.
So I was on Red Pill listening to Red Pill, and you know, I try to catch up with him whenever. He says some of the best people on there. He had a woman on there that was the truth about cancer and COVID. And they actually, they went to New Zealand because their lives were threatened, but then God told them to come back because no one can harm them unless he allows it. And they put out a movie, I believe it was, The Truth About Cancer. And, well, it's really wonderful. At the same time, it's saddening to me because I've known this stuff for a long time. And I now have, anytime somebody says they know somebody or they had somebody or had a relative who died from COVID and they're resistant to you talking in, about the wearing a mask or getting the vaccine, just ask them one question. Did they die in a hospital? And then when they say yes, you do realize that the hospital got paid $15,000 in order for them to kill these people. So if anyone has not gone to the redpill78news.com, redpill78, remember 1776 plus two, redpill78news, you got to have the whole thing because he's now the news. Stop watching CNN. Stop watching even Fox. Don't watch. In fact, throw your television away. It's on 440 hertz, and I did a new research on 440, by the way.
Yeah, we don't. These Illinois callers are amazing. They're often the television, so I'm really proud of them.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So anyway, so, you know, this amazing, you know, just talking about all these other cures and all these other abilities. And I was about ready to call in, except, oh, I was listening to the recording. But fortunately, somebody called in and said, I understand that cancer cannot survive in a non-acidic body. And this has been my thing the whole time. I don't know much about the science of it. I don't know much about all that stuff. But I understand basic concepts. And cancer cannot survive in a non-acidic body. So what I would suggest to people, because I'm used to living on nothing, so I couldn't afford heavy, expensive medicine anyway. So my way of thinking is, okay, I can afford some pH strips. In fact, and I still haven't found which one, but for under $100, and I think you need to get one closer to $100, you can get a pH tester at the right area where your body is supposed to be. And what you want to do is get a log book, and you want to write down who called, what did you do, what did you eat, you know, everything. I mean, literally everything you're doing. And then take your pH, take your pH, take your pH, take your pH. The reason is you want to understand the pH and your body and your pH. You know, did your ex call? Oh, well, your acid level went screaming through the roof. Or maybe it didn't. Maybe you're at peace with it. You know, some people, they eat meat and, you know, their body produces more acid, so it goes up. But other people, because they eat the meat, the acid is confined to digesting the meat. Except I don't have it. Look, everybody is different. And the ones that started way back when, where the people were changed, they had them on a special diet, it worked for 80%, but it didn't work for all of them. And the reason it didn't work for all of them is because they were on a specific diet which worked only for 80%. So what I'm suggesting people do, if they think they have or might have, and I think you should do it anyway, is keep a log of everything you do and what your pH is. So if you get a phone call from this person, that person, the other person, or you run around the block and you do that, something, you would log in there and take your pH, and you notice that it didn't change, then obviously you don't have to keep testing it. But in the areas, like if you ate shrimp tonight, and for some reason your pH went down, I'm just totally making this up, people, then that would be something significant in your logbook. So the next time you eat shrimp, you would go look and see if that still occurs or not. So you don't have to take it every 5 minutes kind of thing. But you will have a logbook, and you will know, like, for instance, just as an experiment, you pet your dog or your cat. What happens to your pH level? What was it before? Then pick up your cat or your dog, and then what is it afterwards? Or your dog runs out of the street or runs out and you scream and yell at, get back here. Go take your pH level. What causes your acid to go up, which causes it to go down? And now you'll know, if you're taking, you're feeling like, now you'll be able to relate what your body feels like and relate that to the pH level. So now you'll have a gauge in your brain. So when something happens, when you're pretty sure and it feels like you just raise the acid levels, go ahead and take a quick pH to confirm it or not. But now you'll know what brings down your acid level. So it's like, oh, I got a stomachache, let me get Tums. Tums has nothing to do with it, but I'm just giving you an idea. You know, you get a headache, you take aspirin. And by the way, regular, good old aspirin, not the Tylenol stuff, works better for me. Like, for instance, what is it they have in Tylenol with, what is that thing that's in there? Tylenol,
acetaminophen?
No, codeine, with codeine. Oh, my God.
Codeine. Okay.
Codeine does just the opposite to me. Just the opposite to me, okay? So these are things you need to get to know about your own body. So when you are doing something, like meditation might work. Breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. 3 times may bring your acid level down. So you'll begin to feel your body and know what your acid level is like because you're going to be getting in touch with your body. I'm usually pretty much in touch with my body. If I get a craving for something, it's usually a good thing. But I am now being led. I never used to eat sugar, but I've been eating way too much sugar lately. So I'm cutting it out based upon some calls that I was listening to the other day. So going to today on Red Pill 78news.com, they were talking about how Trump is now getting his own finances. In other words, people contribute aside from the Republican Party. Well, I figured out about the 15th time I got an email and I looked at the bottom and it said Republican Party. It does not represent Trump necessarily. I was like, what? So I knew right away I wasn't donating to that because I knew they were shysting. Well, Trump now has a suit because they keep on using his name and monetizing his name and getting money on his name. All right?
Yeah.
So I figured that out a long time ago.
I saw that.
Yeah. Well, I figured it out a long time ago, you know, like about the 15th time I got a text message that said, oh, right now you have that one opportunity. You can be one of the my closest, you know, all this nonsense. I'm like, that's not, Trump doesn't do that. You know, in fact, at first it made me think that he was a shyster. And then I researched, I was like, no, he's not doing this. It's the Republican Party that are doing it under his name. So what Redfield was talking about today, is that meat?
Salmon.
Oh, salmon's good. A little hot. Whew. Is he was talking about where he's creating his own fund. So, I don't know what you want to call it. I forget his certain name. And he's got like something like $80 billion already that he's going to use to support people individually. And the exchanges that they have to have somebody from the Trump team basically not managing it, but in there to say, you know, to make sure they're not a shyster. Like, how many people? They know that Trump's name will get them into office. And so how many people use Trump's name, Trump support them to get into office, and then when it came time to support them, they turn their backs on them?
Yes.
Okay? So that's not going to happen again. Well, this is how I see it, that Trump has figured out something that I've been putting out for, I don't know what, 6, 8, 10 years now. That has to start within the local government. That's what continued competency training is all about. And I wish I could get in touch with them. That'll happen. I don't know. Sometime it's going to happen because people really need to get their head wrapped around how evil the Democrat Party is. And there is a way to defeat them and the way to defeat all of them. They've infiltrated. Now people are starting to see what I said, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there was something wrong with Kavanaugh. And it wasn't about Blasey Ford. In fact, she was the thing that exposed him. Not about him allegedly having sex with her. I knew that wasn't true. But the fact that he did not sue her tells you that that thing was a big, huge theatrics. And when he sat there and said that he supports the judicial system and Star Decisis. I mean, how many people know what stare decisis is? Let me explain to you what stare decisis is. Stare decisis means that some judge can make a bad decision and every other judge can use that bad decision to say, oh, well, that's applicable law, which is making law from the bench. It's absolute garbage. Well, that's where we are today. So the other reason is because I know he didn't take a proper oath. Neither did, what's her name?
Amy
Comey Barrett.
Barrett.
Same thing, same red flag. And you know what really confirmed it to me was when I looked at her eyes. They were black. I think she's wearing those contacts. So anyway, the point that I'm making is that I knew ahead of time whether, you know, because God showed it to me, red flags, partly because I have certain knowledge that most people should have. Like, for instance, it used to be common knowledge that everyone knew that if there was a name that was all uppercase, they knew that it was a business entity. It was an assumed name of a business entity. Now, why is that important? Because if it's a business entity, then it must have a representative, because a business entity is not a living entity. And all business entities are required to have a registered agent, somebody who is going to do things on behalf of the entity. It's required to have an office for the public to come to, a proper mailing address. So when you start looking at all the paperwork that you think is yours, like you thought it was your name, you thought it was your license, my driver's license, my tax returns, my this, my that. When you start realizing, and like this case right now with this woman, this poor woman, she's like in a wheelchair. She can't hardly move. Her spine is dissolving, on and on and on and on. She's a bit of a hothead, but she had a court order. If she won the court case, court order for this insurance company to give her, to have a van with a lift, and some other equipment and so on, for her basically, you know, to survive. Well, for 10 years I've been working with her. She won the case, and the insurance company is in default. They are not just in default of what their duty is, but they're in violation of a court order. But because she keeps making noise to them, now they've sicked the FBI on her. So when she's writing her documents today, I had to explain to her that you need to word things correctly. Let me give you an example. People say, I know my rights. Okay, that's a good statement. But if you sit there and say, I know my constitutional rights, that's a false statement. There is no such thing as constitutional rights. Let that sink in for a minute. You don't have constitutional rights. You cannot stand on your constitutional rights. What you can do is require the United States to secure the rights enumerated in its corporate charter known as the Constitution in accord. So it is the United States corporate legal entity that is obligated and duty bound. That's why it's called the Bill of Rights. It's a bill that's due and owing to secure the rights that you have, that you're endowed with by your creator, and others enumerated in the Constitution, which is the corporate charter. You see the difference? Give you an example. In Hale versus Hinkle, page 74. The individual may stand upon his constitutional rights as a citizen. Doesn't make him a citizen. It means as a citizen. Let me explain that one. If you're the master of a house and you have servants, and I don't mean in a negative way slaves. We're not talking about slaves. We're talking about servants. If I'm your waiter or waitress, I am serving your table. I'm here to serve you. I am your servant for that period of time. You can hire servants, people who serve you while you're, who would take care, there's someone going to take care of the house and so on. They're paid employees. And you're a real nice, so you have a separate kitchen for the employees, because you got a rather large estate with horses and you got, you know, all the stuff. You got hard workers that are going to do this. So the employees, the servants, come into the table that's in that special kitchen, which is for them. And they sit down at that bench, that table, that long table, and they sit down and they eat. Is the master of the house precluded, which means he cannot come and eat at the servant's table? Could he not come in and require the cook to say, give me a bowl of goulash that everybody else is eating? Could she say, oh, no, I can't give it to you? I don't think so. He obviously is entitled to that which he can give. And if he eats at the servant's table, is he precluded or denied the right to go and eat at the living room or dining room table, the master's table? No. So just because he eats at the servant's table does not mean that he no longer can eat at the master's table. And just because he eats at the master's table does not mean he can't eat at the servant's table. That is the situation that we have. In the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, it is a prohibition. If you listen to the article, it's a prohibition, but it's also an instruction. No state shall make or enforce any law which abridges the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States. You don't have to be a citizen for that prohibition to apply. Because surely if it applies to a citizen, which essentially is an employee, the way they make it out, right? A citizen of the United States. That means you're an entity of the United States. That's where people come at. I'm not a 14th Amendment citizen. No, of course you're not. They're trying to assume that you are. So it's a preclusion. It says, no, you cannot. Prohibition. No state shall make or enforce. That's now telling the state what they can't do. Okay? Do they have that authority? Most definitely. Go to Article 10 of the Bill of Rights. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the several states. That's telling you that the Constitution prohibits to the several states. It has the authority and the power to prohibit the states from doing certain things. And if the powers were delegated to the United States by the Constitution, then the states don't have that power. So when it says, no state shall make or enforce any law which abridges the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person. Well, you had citizens before, now we got persons. And we know that persons can be corporations, but I've already explained that. Person means persona. So if you're acting as a senator, you are in the persona or person of the senator. Doesn't make you a senator. You're merely a man acting as a senator. If you're a doctor, same thing. A carpenter, same thing. Jesus was not a carpenter. Jesus was a man that did carpentry. And remember, Jesus never claimed to be anything. In front of Pontius Pilate, what did he say? He always asks a question. He who is asking is acting as king. Who do you say that I am? Now, apply that to any legal situation, such as today. The charges are against an all uppercase legal entity name. We are all supposed to know that it is a legal name. Now, I explained to her, you need to then ask them, or tell them the record, they don't have any jurisdiction because the record is absent any evidence, first of all, that she has any relationship to this legal entity with an all uppercase name. So I go through and I explain it this way. If you work for Wendy's, could McDonald's bring you into their little courthouse for not obeying McDonald's rules, regulations, and laws? No. And if you work for McDonald's, could Wendy's bring you into theirs for you failing to abide by their policies, rules, regulations, statutes, and codes? No. They first have to show that you are either an agent, employee, or an officer of that corporation in order for you to be subject to that corporation's statutes, rules, regulations, and codes. And if you don't think that these states, the state of California, the state of Maryland, they are corporations, go look them up under Dun & Bradstreet. And the same thing with the counties, which are considered municipal subdivisions of the state. They are all taxpayers. They don't want to admit it, but if you go into the courts are also a corporation too. And you ask them for their tax ID number. They don't deny they have one. They just waffle around and send you over here to get it and over there to get it and over there to get it. And remember that it's a tax ID number or an EIN number, employment identification number. Why are they using your social, you know, a social, which is yours, by the way, social security number as an EIN number? Because we let them. And that social security makes you a creditor. Not that you're never, you're always a creditor. So this goes directly to the fraud closures. And if you remember on, I think it was the first show where I asked, do you recall closing day? Yep. Do you recall receiving anything of substance or value in your hand, your bank account, or somebody else on your behalf before you signed and delivered the instruments to the agent? Nope. Then by definition, you did not get a loan. In fact, go look at your note. Never met you before. Go look at your note. What does it say? Oh, I never read it. Well, I'm going to tell you what it says, and I've never read it. But I've read enough to know that yours is the same way. In return for a loan, I have received, comma, I promise to pay. Now, I had an argument with a guy the other day that kept trying to say it was a negotiable instrument signed in blank, and I kept saying, no, it's not. How do I know this? Because I went and looked up the definition under the UCC-3, which is where they're at. In this particular case, I had to do with Florida. And right there in general definitions, it says a negotiable instrument is an unconditional promise to pay. So if an instrument says in return for, that clearly is a condition preceding, isn't it? Well, the guy couldn't understand the term condition preceding. And I won't tell you how I ended up explaining to him the what a condition preceding is, but I'll give you the end of that joke. In order for someone to say they're pregnant, certain things had conditions preceding had to take place. Let me say it again. In order for somebody to get pregnant, certain conditions preceding had to take place. It's the same thing with baking. If you don't have rye, you don't have flour, you don't have an oven, there's no way that you can convince me that you have a cake. Those are conditioned precedents. They must precede. If I'm a contractor and I'm supposed to get one-third payment up front and you fail to give me that one-third up front, you cannot sue me for not bringing my men and starting the job. It's a conditioned precedent. When you look at a special endorsement under UCC-3. So I'll go all the way down that train. They want to call it a negotiable instrument. Okay, fine. Let's call it a negotiable instrument. On every single one of these fraud closures, you see the same thing. First of all, it says, without recourse. What did that just say? It's the same thing as you buying something as is. You have no recourse. So why are you here in court trying to have recourse? It says it clearly, and it's called in the law, it's called conspicuous. It's easy to see. It's right there in your face in big letters, without recourse. Now, they try to tell you that only has to do with the assignor, the one who is assigning it, but you can't come back on them. Well, hold on. What's chain of title? If they can't come back on you, then they can't come back on anyone who came before you. And again, anyone who takes this instrument takes it knowing that they have no recourse if it turns out to be a fraud, a copy, a forgery. Just like if you buy a car as is and it falls apart, you have no recourse. End of story. So you have that in the first place. Then you have where it says pay to the order of. That is a special endorsement. Well, what is signed in blank? Signed in blank means that there is nothing. It is blank above the signature. There's not no condition of the signature. Now, if you write a name above it, if you write pay to the order of, if you write for deposit only, if you write cash, if you write anything for deposit only, that is now a special endorsement. And it must be obeyed. Because all of these things have to do with security. Now, a $100 bill has a strip. It has 15 different types of paper. It has 30,000 different types of numbers and watermarks and everything you can possibly imagine for a simple $50 bill. But they don't have any pay strip. They don't have any special paper. They don't have any special ink for a $550,000 mortgage note. Are you crazy? Where's the solution to the puzzle? Why do you think they call it a security instrument? Because the security is within the instrument itself. it is in a form of a contract. In other words, anyone taking this, I'll give you an example. The first condition is what? In return for a loan I have received, comma, I promise to pay. So the promise to pay is conditioned upon having received a loan. You just told me you didn't receive anything. How can you return something that you haven't received? Oops, we have a problem. But nobody is willing to say, I didn't receive anything, because they think they did. Because they can't concede that they are the ones who are the creditors. Because we've been taught from a very young age, from generation to generation, that we're debtor, 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 sinner, sinner, debtor, debtor, sinner. Well, you signed it, didn't you? I went into court the first time, didn't know anything. And I held up the copy of the note, which, by the way, I didn't know at the time, but in case you don't know, anytime you put a note or any other security instrument into a record or anywhere else, it must be 2/3 or smaller, or 1.5 times size and bigger. And most of the time you write, this is a copy. Unnegotiable copy. So you clearly let everybody know this is a copy. That's not what you find on these court records. You find a full size. It's not on legal paper, but it's a full size regular piece of paper. That's called counterfeiting, uttering, and passing, by the way. It's also called falsifying the records, which means they, by them engaging such criminal activity, means that they have a legal deficiency. There, you cannot be engaged in a crime of any sort and then go to a court and expect relief. That's called a legal deficiency. What is the definition of standing in any court case? To be without legal deficiency. You see how important it is to know the law once you know these fundamental things. And once you understand how it's supposed to work, then you can see how they've tricked us, how they've lied to us, how they've falsified documents, and they've gotten so bold they don't even care anymore because they control the courts. You can point it out all day long. So what do I tell people? If you're going to go to the trouble of filing your return, which you should, because remember, if you fail to object, then it means you agree. And you should point out the deficiencies. And under 18 U.S.C. subsection 4, anyone who has knowledge of a crime and fails to make known to some judge or other officer of the United States or military at the earliest opportunity shall be fined or imprisoned up to 3 years or both. Now, if everybody knew the law, we would be making known to some judge or other officer of the United States or military probably 10 times a day, every single one of us. And that's how they get, because technically we're accessories to these crimes. At the very least, we can be charged. And that's what I'm saying. If I'm president, every single one of them would be charged because I know that, first of all, they don't have a proper oath of office. See how important it is to know the law. They don't know the Constitution. They take an oath to support and defend. Well, I can support you and don't believe in you. I can defend you and don't believe in you. But the word that the founders chose was the word support. Because you must know it, you must understand it or comprehend it, and you must believe in it. How many people in offices of public trust right now that don't believe in the Constitution, not that they know what's in there, and more importantly, the principles upon which it's founded, which goes back to the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, which is the founding document, which happens to be a perpetual, irrevocable, express trust. Which means every single thing that is derived thereafter, any form of government, is subject to these principles and the purpose for which they are created, which is what? That to secure these rights, governments instituted among men. And?
So.
Go ahead.
Question. So you're saying that the unanimous declaration, the 13 United States of America, is the only thing they got right?
Oh, no, it's all right.
Florida?
No, it's all right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The laws are right. The codes are right. The statutes are right. The Constitution mm-hmm. is right. The Articles of Confederation mm-hmm. is right. But they all are derived from the founding document, which happens to be a trust. A trust cannot be breached. Everything created thereafter, what does it say? that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it. That tells you right there that the people are the creators, because only the creators could abolish it. And it's also telling you that if you can't find honorable people to hold a position of public trust, then abolish the position itself. What does it say in the Bible? When you cast out something, you fail to replace it with something, seven worse come in before. It would be better that you didn't cast it out in the first place. So once you understand the principles, what does it say? That whenever any form of government becomes destructive, these ends, it's the right of the people to alter, abolish, and institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles. So you can interpret, these attorneys want to interpret the law. It's not their job to interpret the law except for one way. They can only interpret in the way that most protects your rights, secures your rights, and provides you with safety and happiness. Now, does that apply to a corporation? Absolutely not. A corporation is not man or woman. It's not one of the people. It's a person. So when the Supreme Court made the decision or said that corporations were considered for legal purposes to be a person, everyone got upset because they didn't understand the definition of person. If you go to 18 U.S.C. 241, if two or more persons, that means somebody in some persona, two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any what? Doesn't say person, inhabitant. But even if you were a person, as I was saying before, because you are superior to everything, if a person, if the slave, if the servant, if the person, if a citizen is entitled to certain things, you as the master most definitely are, because you're the one who grants it. Name one power that you have that God didn't have first. Name one authority that you have that God doesn't have. We are God in relation to our creations.
And Colin, I'm sorry, we have a new caller.
Oh, goody, goody.
I don't know her name. Could you say your name, please?
I'm Carol from Los Angeles, California.
Welcome, Carol. How are you tonight?
Pretty good.
What brought you here?
I was on late last week around the same time, and I was listening to about the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And I emailed Loopy, but I never got any response during the week.
Did you have a question?
It's so many.
Yeah, I don't know if I got... Did you send it to lupedejesus7@gmail.com?
I sent it to... Yeah, what's on the email. I will relook...
Okay.
Well, come up with one most important question that you can ask, and we can address that real quick.
Okay, it's for individual. If you have... it's for a friend, but I don't even know the question she wanted to ask.
Well, let's come back to that when you find it, okay?
Right.
Okay. So where was I? So understanding that we are in fact the creators of the things such as governments, corporations, municipal subdivisions of the state, and so on, and the legislation, etc. We, as the principal, must first have the power and authority to grant power and authority to our agents. So anyone wants to do homework, look up the relationship between a principal and an agent. As the agent does, so does the principal. That's why I explain to people, when you really get down to the nitty-gritty, we are liable for everything we have allowed our creation, our government, our agents to do. So when Cuomo sits there and kills a bunch of people in order to get the numbers up on COVID, when the people in the hospitals kill people purposely so they can receive $15,000 and so they can add more numbers to the COVID, and we allow them to get away with it, and you stand before God and he's going to go, hey, well, you let him do that. No, I didn't. Yes, you did, because he's your servant. This is the awakening, I believe, that is coming, is that people finally get to realize, let's call our neighbors again. This is why the cabal has gone to so much trouble to separate the village, to separate the family, to separate the relationship. Even to the point now that there's, you can be a man or woman depending upon how you feel at the moment. I mean, this stuff is truly, truly sick. But the people are allowing it to happen. How do I know? Because we outnumber them. But when was the last, look, and I've been coming down on the people who go to Trump rallies. I said, if Trump comes into town, I guarantee that there'll be 30,000 people ready to go to his rally at a drop of a hat and drive from other states to go see him. And you're going to have 10 to 15, it depends upon how big the stadium is or at the airport. You'll get 15 to 20 to 30,000 people to show up just, and they'll go there. They'll spend hours. They'll spend days. Driving there, driving back, spending hundreds of dollars to stay at hotels. Like when in the D.C., there was at least 1 million people there, maybe more, maybe 3 million people there. Well, I'm your brother. And what does it say in the Bible? As much as I chasten you, I love you. So I'm chastening the people. Get that number of people, that 15 or 20,000 people at one state that they would go to at the drop of a hat, and march straight down to your legislators and say, you are going to implement right now continued competency training. Do you think that they would do it if there was 30,000 people standing outside of the legislative building and the legislature's in session, and they ain't going nowhere? Now, remember, people go, oh, well, Colin, you know, okay, hold on a minute. What does it say? Be more Christ-like? What did Jesus do at the temple to the money changers? He took action. He didn't just stand there and go, oh, you guys don't do that. It's not very fair. It's not very... No. He turned over their tables. He fashioned a whip, and he beat them with it. And as I said the other day, what less should we do? He already paid the price. We don't need to be paying the price again. Uh-uh. He paid the price. We have the power. We have the numbers. It's time. What does it say? Faith without actions is dead. So the question I ask the Patriots, are you dead? I hear a lot of talking. I hear talking about the problem. I hear people complaining. I hear people going to rallies. They go to CPAC and they're still wearing masks. They go to CPAC and they listen to all these speakers for 3-4 days. How many of them got together in groups, walked home? How many of the people on stage were talking about solutions? We have a solution. God's given it to us. All we need to do is implement it. I call it continued competency training. Call it whatever you want. But require those people in offices of public trust to be tested as to their knowledge, understanding, and accurate use of the principles upon which the Constitution and the laws and the very position that they are going to take are founded upon, which is what? That to secure these rights and to provide the people with safety and happiness. I don't care about all these other promises and whatnot. And if they don't know that, and they don't know the law, and they don't know that Article 6 of the Constitution requires them to swear an oath to support the Constitution, and they can't pass a test as to the most fundamental things, as to the purpose of government and the reason for it and the position they hold, they got no business being in that office. Now, you think I'm being harsh. Well, let's go to Article 3, Section 1. Anyone on the Constitution, you should have in front of you. Article 3, Section 1, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not reading this out of my head. The judges, both of the supreme and the inferior court, shall hold their office during good behavior, which means what? Anything less than good behavior, and they don't hold the office, do they? Hello? Anything less than good behavior, and they are impersonating the office. Impersonating an office of a judge is a crime. A court
behavior in what sense, though? Anything?
Anything. What is good behavior?
Oh, okay.
Good behavior means that I, as a judge, am here to look out. What does it say? Again, let's go to Hale versus Hinkle. And Hale versus Hinkle is quoting Boyd versus U.S., so it's quoting a Supreme Court case before that, one of the very early ones, Boyd versus U.S. I've given you Hale versus Hinkle, the quote's in there. I believe it's page 28. And it says the following. Here, I'll tell you what, I'll go and read it. I'll say it first, and if I'm wrong, I'll correct myself, but I believe it says, it is the duty of the courts to be watchful for any stealthy encroachments upon the rights of the individual. It is the motto, or should be the motto of the court, obstinate principia, I don't know how I'm pronouncing it right, obstinate principia, which means to nip it in the bud. Hello? Let me go find it. Okay, real quick, I want to give you a quick sidetrack here. On page, it'll be, I think, on the one I sent you, I hope it is, page 201, U.S. 79, it's actually 78. But if you go find where it says page 201, U.S. 79, you'll see up above it where I've yellowed it, quote, and this is a sidetrack, but it's important, quote, an artificial being, in my opinion, a corporation, quote, he's quoting somebody else or something else in law, an artificial being, invisible, intangible, and existing only in contemplation of the law, cannot claim the immunity given by the Fourth Amendment, for it is not a part of the people within the meaning of that amendment, nor is it embraced by the word persons in the amendment. So even though the Supreme Court said that a corporation can be a person, it not in the amendment. You see, you have to be, they're being specific. Even though it may be a person or persons, yep, that's right, because it's a persona, but nor is it embraced by the word persons in the amendment, in the amendment. See, people miss that. Oh, so it's not a person. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying it's not embraced. Again, remember this one thing, please. If it is not included, it is excluded. It did not say it's not a person. It merely said, nor is it embraced by the word persons in the amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. Okay, so that's a quick side view, but I wanted to go to the one to see if I quoted it right. If I can find it here, I'll give you the page here in a second.
And the lady from Los Angeles.
Yeah, do you have your question?
Yes. You could send. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to know, like, if you're talking about a corporation individual.
No. You can have an individual corporation. A corporation is not an individual. You can have an individual corporation. You can have an individual piece of candy. You can have an individual this and that and the other thing. But when the court uses the term individual all by itself, it means man or woman generally. Now, they try to steal that and trick you by putting there's a difference between code and law and statute. Statute is properly promulgated and enacted law, which only has to do, again, with persons and those in the government. That's why it's the government passing laws to govern the government, which are those in offices of public trust. Here it is. Page, it should be in green, page 201, U.S. 89. So it's on page 89 of Hale versus Hinton.
How do I get the papers that you have? Because you don't have any of your...
Okay.
Give her your email.
Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, you ready to take this down?
Yes.
Even questions, because I'm learning.
Continued.
C-O-M-P-I-N-U-E-D.
Continued.
Okay.
Competency, C-O-M-P-E-T-N, I can't even spell it now. Competent, P-E-N-C-Y. Is that right? Continued competency training. So it's all one. Continued competency training.
Oh boy.
Hold on 1 second. I will go. Tell you what. Here, well, let's make this a lot faster. How about you send me your, you give me your email, and I will send you something right now. How's that?
Colin, but everybody will hear.
True. All right. I'll just give mine a note. No worries. Okay. Competency training.
Okay.
Training. T-R. A-I-N.
Wait. T-R-A-I-N?
Yep. I-N-G. Training. T-R-A-I-N-I-N-G. Training.
Okay.
Is there an A in it? T-R-A-I-N-I-N-G.
T-R-A-I-N-I-N-G. Okay. Training. I'm going to training tonight. I am training my brain to think. At...
Okay.
G, that's the letter G, not G-E-E. G, mail, M-A-I-L, .com.
Okay.
So it's continued competency training at gmail.com.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Go ahead and send me one, and I will send it to you as soon as I get it. I'm going to close it. Save and close. No, I don't want you to save it. I want you to just simply trash it. Thank you. Okay. Did you send it to me?
Not yet.
All right, let me know and I'll upgrade it. So let me go. Where was I? Boom. Mr. Scamman.
You were that?
Check it.
You were with the
huh?
Hinkle. With the Hinkle, you were talking about...
Hale, H-A-L-E, V-H-I-N-K-L-E. Hinkle, Hinkle. Hale.
Don't ask me. That's where you were.
Think about this one. All Hale Hinkle. Yeah. Hale V. Hinkle. It should be H-L-T-D, which means highlighted. On it's going to be in the document, page 24 of the 25-page document. But if you were to go to the actual website, or you were to go to the National Archives, you will find it under page 201, because that's the 201st time that they've an action that the Supreme Court took, U.S., and the page is 89. But it's right above 89, so it's technically 88 at the bottom. And it says the following. Let me see if I did it right. It is the duty, not the prerogative, the duty of the courts to be watchful for the constitutional rights of the citizens and against any stealthy encroachments thereon, which means if it's not stealthy but blatant, then they definitely have an obligation, right? their motto should be Obstina Principia. When you go look up Obstina, O-B-S-T-A, Principia, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-I-I-S, I'm not sure if I'm spelling it, if I'm pronouncing it right, it means to nip it in the bud. Well, I had it wrong. I was quoting it wrong. I think mine's better, but that's okay. It is the duty of the courts, because the way I'm quoting it, is the duty of the courts to be watchful for any stealthy encroachments upon the rights of the individual. Well, okay, here it is. In fact, it is the duty of the courts to be watchful for the constitutional rights of the citizen and against any stealthy encroachments thereon. Fairly close. But it goes back to the principle. They have a duty to be watchful for any stealthy encroachments. So now you know what the court's duty is. So if the judge, now do you remember having the debates with Trump and the interviewer, whatever his name is, what, and Trump pointed out and said, oh, I'm debating you, not idiot over here, huh? You know, by Don.
The moderator.
Yeah, the moderator. What was his name, that slime ball?
Oh, gosh.
And I used to think he was a good one of the good guys, to tell you how things change.
Pam, do you know? What was it?
Wasn't his last name Wallace?
No. And his father, what confused me, his father was like other people said, I didn't realize they read the article, that his father would be rolling over in his grave. So he's been riding his father's coattails, but he's a slime ball sellout. But anyway, during the debates, if you remember, he was arguing with Trump. He was precluding questions. And Trump pointed out, oh, so I'm arguing, I'm debating you, not idiot over here, huh? Which we're talking about Biden. And I spell it B-Y-E. Bye, dummy.
Yes.
That's my call. And I can, now I've got the new one, B-Y-E-D-U-M-B. Bye, dumb. And for Obama, I have hyphen B-O-M-B. For Obama, hyphen B-O-M-B hyphen hyphen A hyphen rather A or a hyphen nation. So it's Obama nation.
Yep, Obama nation. I got it.
Got it. Good.
Mm-hmm.
I tell it like it is, folks. Right? I don't have time for this. We don't have time. Let me put it to that. Let me share this with you guys. What do you remember? Sodom, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
Who was pleading to God, arguing with God, however you want to call it, negotiating with God?
Abraham.
It was who?
Abraham.
So Abraham says.
Abraham.
Okay, so Abraham says what? If there be 100, if there be 10, if there be one righteous, correct?
Right. He went down to 10. He said, the Lord said, if you give me 10 people, I will spare the city. And he couldn't get 10.
There you go. And in fact, when they brought Lot, out of it, he brought his daughter and his wife. But what was the instruction?
Don't look back.
That's correct. And what happened when she looked back?
She turned into a pillar of salt.
That's right. So don't you think the angels knew that if she turned back, that she would turn to a pillar of salt?
Yes.
Now think about this for one
moment. Yes.
Think about this for a minute. If Lot was asked to leave his wife behind, do you think he would have? Being an honorable
man?
No. So what did they do? They set it up so that he's not at fault. She killed herself by looking back.
Right.
So the point is that Abraham was arguing or negotiating with God, if you will, if you can find, you know, whatever it was, down to 10, argued him down to 10. Well, think about it this way. What if, and I'm putting this out there as possible hypothetical and also partly correct, what if there was a small group of people that realized that the cabal was continuously taking over, evil, choosing the lesser of two evil, but continually getting more and more and more evil? And what if they knew that the CIA was killing people in other countries and creating wars and so on, and they were harming people tremendously? Does anyone know what the definition of scorched earth means, what that term means? Let me put it to you this way. Do you remember the flood? God destroyed the entire earth except for Noah and his family. And he said, yeah. Never do it destroyed by water again, but the next time might be by fire. Now, what if there was a group of people that decided it was better to wipe, to kill a lot of innocent, what we call collateral damage, could kill a lot of people in these cities, a lot of people around these government entities, these government buildings. And they had planted a long time ago miniature nuclear bombs, ones that won't cause a huge amount of damage. It would certainly take out everything for five city blocks, the courthouse, all of these different buildings, the governor buildings, the legislature buildings, all that. And they wait till they're in their offices, and then they blow them all up. There will be collateral damage. But it is better to get rid of all of them and blow up the cities and blow up this than it is to allow evil to continue in the direction they're going, because they intend to kill two-thirds of the population anyway. If you guys don't know that, go see Agenda 21. Now, what if somebody intervened and said, no, don't pull the trigger. Don't push the button. I believe that there's a way that we can get, there's a way to get out of this. We're not at the point of no return. And they argue with them and say, because the unanimous declaration, the trust itself says that whenever any form of government becomes instructed, these ends are right, that people to alter. And what if that person negotiated with them to not push that button because he felt that they could alter the government in such a way that they could turn away from that point of no return? And what if they were given 5 years to do that? And what if the 5 years are up? We don't have time, people. We have to institute something to the effect where we require the people in offices of public trust to be removed from office if they cannot pass a most basic fundamental test. There is nothing else that will work. You cannot bring charges against a judge. You cannot bring charges against these criminal idiots. You cannot bring them down in the courts because they control the courts. Absolutely. Look at the Supreme Court. Trump allegedly put everyone's, oh, great, we got Kavanaugh and we got Amy Coney Barrett. Oh, dear. They're sellouts, too. And who was it who did a dissent? What's his name? I can't think of his name right now. What's wrong with me? Roberts is the bad one. Who is that? Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas, so the big dent. Yeah.
Talk about the irony. Here is a black man who they cut off his feed. They literally cut it off and they banned the video. He's a black man who's a Supreme Court. And he's talking about the law and how it's supposed to be. And I still haven't found out, but I'm pretty sure, I'll bet you dime to a dollar, he has a proper oath of office to support the Constitution. And what are they doing to him? They're blocking him, they're banning him, they're taking down the videos that he's on. That should be a clue. A cancer will kill its host, even at its own demise. We have to get this done. We don't have time. The reason I'm doing this education, the reason I'm teaching this, the reason I'm sharing it, is so that people's minds will get illuminated, get alive again, and go, oh my God, I see it. That's why we have to do that. That's why we have the authority to institute legislation at the lowest levels. How do you get rid of the fraud of the voting? Everyone's going, well, there's no point in anyone running for office because the voting system is all corrupted. How do you get rid of the corrupted voting systems? Get the legislature to replace it with one that works, like, oh, I don't know, a paper ballot.
one that punches holes like I showed on Red Pill Show. It's a real simple thing I made. I made it in an hour. Out of a piece, out of two pieces of flooring that was thrown away. I drilled holes in it.
It used to be that way, Colin.
Do what?
Wasn't it? It used to be that way with the holes.
Yeah. It used to be behind the curtain, and you pulled it. And you pulled a lever.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I look at it this way. Why can't we have a lever system, an old-fashioned lever system, like if you've ever been to an old-fashioned cobbler shop at the Smithsonian, where they had one motor driving a whole bunch of belts, and you could tighten up the belt in order to tap it, you get this machine, or you get the drill, or you get that. Well, why don't we have a system like that, that when you pull a lever, when you pull a particular level, it causes, you know how you have a clicker in your hand, and you count the number of people coming into a concert? Click, 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 click. It can only go one way. It can't go backwards. So that when you pull the lever, you're in a closed room, you pull the lever, and it causes that little thing on a circle to go click. So everyone can watch, oh, there's 3,664 vote for Trump. Oh, there's number 24 vote for Biden. But because you always have closed curtains and no one knows which one, it's still private. Why don't we, I mean, that's so simple. Or the way that I did it, which I'm thinking might, this other ways might even be better. But you have three pieces of paper with unique numbers on it. You show your ID, you get the piece of paper with three numbers on it. Just like, oh, I don't know, almost every state used for a ticket. When they wrote you a ticket, it had three copies, one for you, one for the court, and one for the officer. But each one of those copies had the same unique number on it. I have yet to see a ballot that has a unique number on it. Why? Because then you would know how many ballots. If you got 30,000 people that could vote, why would you print out more than 30,000 ballots? There would be no problem with knowing which ones are fake and which ones aren't. Although the fact that the mail-in ballots that are not folded is kind of a clue. But it would have a unique number on it. And there's three copies. One for you, one for the state to count, and one for the federal. Why the federal? Because the federal obligation is they have a duty to ensure your right to one vote being counted the way that you made your vote. And that's why I'm putting a case together now that everybody else has been dismissed, because all of them wanted to talk about the fraud. So I'm bringing an action on the deprivation of right. I have been deprived of my right to know that my vote was counted in the way that I meant and intended it and actually wrote on that piece of paper. I don't have a receipt. I have no receipt. I have been disarmed of my receipt. For instance, I give an example. The way they're trying to go on the news broadcasters saying, well, all the people voted for Trump should be put into FEMA camps and their children put into re-education camps. Well, obviously, you would want to have a receipt so you could prove you didn't vote for Trump. All right, let's reverse it. What if all those people that had seen the video where Biden said, you're not getting the billion-dollar loan if you don't fire the investigator of that in your country, which, first of all, by the way, is interference in lawful processes in another state. That's an international crime, right? It's a crime as far as the United States go. And on top of it, he's doing extortion, right? He's interfering in a lawful procedure of a criminal case investigated by getting rid of the investigator. He's withholding funds, so that's not quid pro quo. They always try to turn that into quid pro quo. Every contract is quid pro quo, something for something. It's when you're doing it in a position that you have no authority to do it in. He's engaged in so many crimes, he ended up, if you look at it properly, he was engaged in treason. Anyone who saw that video knows that he engaged in treason. At the very least, they know that he engaged in the crime, which means he has a legal disability to even run as president. So technically and lawfully speaking, if we had the law in place, anyone who voted for Biden that had seen that video or had knowledge of some of his other criminal activities engaged in being actively engaged in treason themselves. Now, don't you think that all those people who presumably voted for Biden but really didn't, Don't you think that they were deprived of their right to defend themselves? Because I guarantee if anyone says they're a Democrat, we assume they voted for Biden because, hey, after all, Biden got more votes than have ever happened in history. More than Obama, more than Trump, and more than Hillary. So that's a whole lot. You got 80-some thousand. That's 80-some thousand people we got to put. We got to make new FEMA camps for those 80 million. So don't you think all those people that may be Democrats that secretly voted for Trump would like to have a receipt to show that, no, I didn't vote for that criminal?
Exactly.
So I'm going at it from, I don't need to prove fraud. All I need to do is show I was deprived of my right of having a receipt. And does anyone know what article in the Bill of Rights that's under?
Ooh. That's hard. Let's see. Can you give us the article?
I will, but I want you to get first or go look real quick. You'll
4, 5, 6, 7.
Did you get my email? I sent it.
Mm-mm. Let me go look real quick. Thank you for letting me know why everyone's looking that one up.
It definitely is going to be a while. This is a lot.
There's only 10.
10? Oh, geez. Okay, so.
Is this Carol requesting paperwork? Yes, okay. Let me do.
Awesome. He's the brain.
Let me attach this. Oh, no, I'm not a brain. Trust me, this is 10 years of my life, literally, for most people, 20 years. Well, actually, it's been 15, because we're talking 18 to 20 hours a day, nonstop.
Wow.
Reading and rereading, studying and restudying, rereading and rereading and restudying it and redoing it. Like I said, I knew Article 4 of the Bill of Rights by heart. But when I was having the discussion with God, I said, please give me something as to what I'm talking about when I say that people and person, there's a difference. And that's when he says, go to Article 4, read it 1,000 times. I knew it by heart, spouted it 1,000 times. And I never saw the term persons, the right of the people to be secure in the persons, plural, clearly indicating people have persons. Oh, my God, there it is. So, yeah, you reread and redo it again. Okay, what am I going to do here? I want to make sure I send you. Oh, I'm in the wrong folder. Sorry I talk so fast, but, you know, that's why this is being recorded. Let's see if I have it here. Arguments Foundation. There's a lot to get out, and if I go too slow, I just don't think it'll come together. You know, it's all right, let me send this to her. Okay, this one, the first one I'm sending you is the best unanimous declaration. That has a short view of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and it also has 18 U.S.C. 241. So that's the short version of everything. And I'm going to send you the long version, the other one. Let me see what we got here.
That's what I forgot. It's the end of the world.
I mean, the one thing you're going to learn after a while is everything is right in front of our face, right? Like, you know, how many people have heard of the... How many people have heard of the term cause of action or cause for action and don't understand what that means? They think it's some legal term. It means exactly what it says. If you don't have a cause for action, if you have not been injured, there's nothing that these banks can show that anyone was injured or that they're going to be deprived of something if they don't sell the house. That's when you start figuring out that it's not even the banks that are selling the house.
Okay, I might be wrong, but is it in Article 1?
Close, but no. Anybody else want to give it a try?
Because I saw every order, resolution, or vote to which concurrence of the wrong place.
I was going to say, what are you going to? That's not the first article of the Bill of Rights. You know it is the amendments.
Oh, the article of the Bill of Rights. Yeah, I'm in the wrong place. Oops. I was in the articles.
What?
Bridges Nickel. Maryland Constitution.
Okay, I give up.
Anybody else? Come on, somebody else has got to have one.
Number four. Bill of Rights.
I already told you in my wording. What did I say I was being deprived of?
Your right. You're being deprived of your right. I take notes.
What right? What right was I being deprived of?
Voting. Getting a receipt.
Okay, and what is that receipt for?
To prove that you voted.
No.
For the person you voted for.
But what am I being deprived of if I don't have a receipt?
Your right of vote.
No. Well, that's part of it, but what is it I'm being deprived of without having a receipt? When I am deprived of a receipt, what am I being deprived of? I'm being deprived of my right to arm myself with a receipt.
Arm myself with a
right
receipt.
To bear arms?
Bingo.
Right to bear arms?
Bingo.
Oh, praise the Lord. You were giving so many hints, I couldn't.
You see, that sounds so arbitrary to most people. But you see, people failed because they've been trained to believe that the second article of the Bill of Rights has only to do with guns. It doesn't ever use the word guns in there, does it? What are Christians supposed to do? Arm ourselves with...
No, it's the right to bear arms. Mm-hmm.
And what do Christians arm ourselves with? The sword, and the shield, which is the Word of God.
The armor of God. Mm-hmm.
So if you are being deprived of a Bible, that would fall under the second article too, wouldn't it?
Right. Yes.
Because the term arms, the right to have arms and to bear arms. Which is, if you're speaking scripture, you are bearing that arm of scripture, the truth. So here I'm being deprived of the right to arm myself with a receipt so that when I go into court, I will be armed with evidence that I did not vote for that criminal Biden. So that I will not be prosecuted as an accessory for voting in somebody who is a known criminal. Are you seeing it now?
Yes, we're seeing
it. So I was deprived of a right to have and to bear arms, which I'm entitled to, as well as the fact, of course, I'm deprived of the right of one whole vote. I have the right to my whole vote to be counted as one whole vote, aren't I? How do I say one whole vote? Because, well, first of all, I'm white and I'm of age. Oh, that's the old Constitution. Oh, that's right. We amended it. Now everybody, no matter what color, creed, or otherwise, you are entitled to one whole vote to be counted the way you voted. I have no evidence that that took place. Now, why is this important? Because Barr set the bar, and he had no authority to do so. He's supposed to enforce the law, not interpret law. What did he do? He created an interpretation, which then was mimicked by the media, so everyone believes that they have to prove extensive voter fraud, which we're not even looking for voter fraud. We're looking for vote counting fraud, substantial enough to change the outcome of the election. Well, no, that's not the standard at all. Well, everyone knows there's been fraud all these years. Really? And you didn't do anything about it?
That means you accepted fraud. Well, we accepted a little bit, then we accepted a little bit more, and now we accepted absolute complete fraud. The whole thing is a fraud. But that's okay. No, it's not. Because if there is one improper vote, let me ask anyone who's a mathematician here, is 0.999999999998 or 7 or 6 or even 9, is that equal to 1? Nope.
No, it's still...
It's still less than 1, isn't it?
Exactly.
One vote. If there is one vote that is improper, one vote that's been switched, one vote that's been thrown in the trash, one vote that's been added, one dead person vote, one criminal vote, one ineligible vote, what does that do to my one whole vote? It's no longer one whole vote. It's 0.9 something or other, or 0.8 something if there's a lot of them. Therefore, my right to one whole vote has been deprived, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Fraud is fraud.
Yes, fraud is fraud.
And all in law, all you would have to do is prove that one side committed fraud with intent. And your candidate, I don't care if they got every vote except for mine. If I can show that you added one vote or changed one vote in order to cause my vote not to count as one whole vote, your candidate loses. Have you ever heard of that? He who cheats loses. How many people have been stripped of their Olympic gold medal because they found out they were cheating?
Right.
It didn't matter if they broke the record by 50 seconds or 5 seconds or 10 seconds or a tenth of a second. Doesn't matter if they smashed the record. Look at what's his name, the bicycle idiot. He smashed all records. He won the bicycle, the France de Tour France or whatever the heck it was. He won it over and over and over again. He was disgraced and every single one of those was taken away from him. That is how it's supposed to be. That is the law the way it's supposed to be. Hey, you engaged in fraud. Your candidate loses. But wait a minute, we had 5 million votes. You only had 3. I don't care. You lose for cheating. Don't do it again. Sound a little bit like children, doesn't it? Who's disciplining the children? No one. And why are children in offices of public trust? Because there's no testing to prove that they're not.
Because your parents are doing the job.
We are the parents. We're not doing our job. I do remember that there was some time, and I think it was in California, when they're having a problem with these kids. It was years ago, but what they did is they said that if your kid commits a crime or disobeys a law or something, you, as the parent, go to jail. Because the parents weren't doing their job. And as much as I know about the law, there is not one of you on this call, there is not one person walking the streets, there's not anyone out here that I could not charge with a crime and make it stick. And by the way, all I'd have to do is say you're a Republican and I guarantee you're going to go to jail. Now, I'm being mean, but is that what it takes? We don't have the time. We've got to get it together. It's so simple. God gave us so simple. You don't even have to do any of the studying. Oh, I'm sorry, hon. Let me send this to you. You don't have to do any studying. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to spend all the time I've spent learning the law. You need to do it at some point, and you need to teach your kids. But right this minute, all you have to do is see the gift that's given to you and go down. Get people together. I don't care if it's 1,000, 10,000, or 30,000, or 100,000. Say you're having a Trump rally at the legislature and let the old people say, well, I'm sorry I lied to you, but I knew I had to get you down here. Now, I want you all to sit there and tell this legislature that we're going to go ahead and we're going to legislate whatever you want to call it, continued competency testing, continued competency training. I call it training because it sounds so sweet. but it's really testing. And institute the legislation that requires them to take the test right away and every 6 months thereafter. And if they can't pass the test, they're out of office immediately. Thank you very much. Give us your cell phone and all the other stuff that's, you know, the printers, the copies, all the stuff that you had while you're in office. We're not going to let you use a ball peen hammer on the phones, right? We're locking your email account. And by the way, here's your other stuff from the desk that's yours, and Bubba will see you to the exit. Well, Bubba and 30,000 of us people. You know, do a thing that a Pelosi said. They'd drag you out by your little hands and feet, by the hair. That's what we need to do. Because if we don't, there will be bloodshed, and a lot of it. We have a peaceful way of getting it done. I'm sorry to be yelling so much, but I've been hearing, you know, going through this thing this whole week of writing documents, knowing that it's being written to a court that's going to completely ignore it. And the guy keeps crying. He wants his house. He wants to save his house. And I'm like, not the way the courts are. This is not the solution. Even if I was to get your house, but even if we could get this to work, that's only one. There are millions of fraud closures every year. Millions. Which is why I know they're not going to let you win. And why would they?
Oh, yeah, because if one wins, that means they all can win.
Particularly the way that I'm putting it. Do you remember the first call? If you just simply write an affidavit, right? And by the way, this all has to do with TILA, the Truth in Lending Act. Under rescission, people don't read it. I've read it, and I've studied the case law on it. If you listen to what the Supreme Court said about TILA, they said the moment that you give them notice that you have rescinded, what does that tell you? People have the right to rescind. When I did the rescission, I rescinded not only the instrument, but my signature that was on them. That made them void. It was void right then, dead. And they were required under the law to unwind, which means they were supposed to give me back all the payments that I made all this time. And then I'm required to pay them the amount that I borrowed or the collateral, which is the property. And they have 3 days. They have 20 days in which to respond to your rescission in order to get a court to intervene and say, oh, no, you can't. And if they don't do that, in this case, they didn't. They now are required to unwind, which means give you back all the payments. And then you can give them 3 days, a specific time period, 3 days, to come and take possession of the property. And if they don't come get the property, then they don't have any claim to it. But wait a minute, before we get there, what's the condition precedent? The reason I'm giving them the property is in lieu of giving them the payment for what? The loan I have received. But wait a minute, you just said that you didn't get anything of substance or value before you signed and delivered the instrument. There's no evidence. Well, guess what? That's why the note says, in return for a loan I have received, the security is within it. And then it goes on to say, anyone who takes this note by transfer, which tells you it can't be assigned, it has to be by transfer, and is entitled to payments under the note. So it's two things. You have to take it. Well, three things. You have to take it. It has to be taken by transfer, which is not an assignment. It doesn't say by transfer or assignment. By transfer, and is entitled to payments under the note. Well, who's the one who's entitled to payments under the note? The lender. Well, who's the lender? The one who gave you something that you're going to return. But wait a minute, you just said you didn't get anything. So then what? Now, you go to your mortgage, you go to your deed of trust, what does it say it secures? It does not say it secures the lender. It doesn't say it secures the bank or anyone else, which is what these attorneys tell you. It says it right there, secures the debt, evidenced by the note. Well, what does the note evidence? Your signature says, yes, I did receive something, and I will return it in this method. But you just told me that you didn't receive anything prior to, so the condition precedent was not fulfilled. And you wouldn't be surprised how many people are not willing to sign an affidavit to what I've asked them. You know what I do now? I have two or three witnesses, and I just casually asked him, do you recall receiving anything of substance or value in your hand, your bank account, or somebody else on your behalf before you signed and delivered the instruments to the agent? When they say no, I got three witnesses that they just said no. They were not under threat and duress. So now I can have three affidavits that this person said, no, I didn't. I can actually win the case even though they don't want it won. If they're not willing to do an affidavit, I got three people witnesses to what they said. So now I can box them in and force them to say, did you or did you not receive something before you signed and delivered the instruments? According to these three witnesses, you said no. Is that true or not? I don't need their affidavit. But the people are unwilling to sign an affidavit. No, I did not get anything prior to. It's the truth. But you see, they're so brainwashed to believe, oh, I got something. As I said, and the first time didn't know anything. The first thing the judge says is, well, didn't you get the property? Well, why is the judge saying anything? In my case, the way God blessed me is I always own my properties first. So I knew that they weren't giving me the property, but guess what? Later on, I discovered, well, the bank, unless the bank was selling you the property, the bank never had the property. And that's when I started separating, going, oh, wait a minute. There's two contracts. I was a licensed real estate agent. They didn't teach me this. So can anyone tell me, when were you lawfully seized of the property? Anyone? You were lawfully seized of the property when you and the seller came to an agreement. And then you had 30, 60, 90 days. I pushed it out to 6 months before, or 9 months. In which to do what? In which to bring the payment that is due and owing. You have an agreement. Now, if you were not lawfully seized of the property, then how is it possible that you can put it into a mortgage or put it into a deed of trust? And the mortgage says, I hereby assign, convey, and transfer. And the deed of trust, you put it into the trust. You transfer it into the trust. Well, if you're not lawfully seized of that property, then how the heck did you put it into the trust of the deed or the mortgage? Nobody ever argues that, though, do they? They don't come into court going, well, you know, he never owned the property in the first place. That's why we're here to foreclose on it. But people are convinced that they got something and that they have to return something they didn't get because they cannot believe that they're the creditors. They cannot get their head wrapped around the fact that they are creditors and that their signature is monetized.
Colin, I have a question. So if you own a house
mm-hmm.
and say it's paid off, I mean, you're paying taxes forever, though.
Why?
It makes no sense.
All right, hold on a minute. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you the better question.
Okay.
What is the name of the business, and what type of business are you engaged in, or is it? What type of business is it engaged in, and what portion of the property that you own are you leasing, renting, or did you convey or sell to the business entity that's doing business in order to pay an ad valorem commercial tax? First of all, you don't have a business. There is no business engaged in on that property in any particular thing, which is called the CITUS, by the way, or CITUS, S-I-T-U-S. And that's a funny story. I did that to a judge, and he goes, what's that word? So he takes the computer, and he looks it up under Wikipedia. I said, sir, I don't think that's very accurate, considering I have American jurisprudence right here in my hand. Would you like to borrow it? That's when I started realizing these judges are really screwed up. Now, there are great judges. If anyone wants to find a wonderful, wonderful judge in this case, is Judge Shack in New York. And anyone who's ever been in the mortgage fight knows Judge Shack. He's an honorable man. They finally end up taking him out.
Oh, it's always like that.
Well,
they're good.
Again, why are the people not protecting these angels? Why are the people not protecting them?
Yeah.
Not have Minutemen. Why is it that an old lady can be harassed by 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 cops? Where are the Minutemen? She should be able to push in 811 or 611 or whatever, and then 30 people, because we all have, what, we have what do you call that stuff, tracking and MapQuest, I mean, Google Maps, and anyone within 20 minutes come a-running. And we don't even have to be armed with guns. We just armed with our cameras, with our words, with our knowledge of the law. Can you imagine if there were like 15 cops around this? Well, usually there's like 5 or 6. And all of a sudden, 30, 40, 50, 60, and it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You end up with 100, 200, 300 people standing around this old lady going, do you have a warrant? And who are you, by the way? Well, I'm Officer So-and-so. Really? Do you have any evidence of that? Yeah, look at my badge. Oh, that's a real nice badge. I saw one of those on eBay the other day. How much you pay for yours? Do you have any other evidence that you're claiming to be, that you hold the position you claim to hold? And they pull out their wallet. Oh, come on, you're not going to show me a plastic ID card, are you? Yeah, well, high school kids have been forging those for years. Do you have any other evidence that you hold the position that you claim to hold? I'll tell you what I'll do. If you can answer a few simple questions, I'll be satisfied that you're holding the position you claim to hold. Isn't it true that you're obligated, isn't it true that that the position you claim to hold requires you to swear an oath of office? Yes. That oath of office is to support the Constitution for the United States of America. Is that correct? Yes. I accept your oath of office. Is that acceptable to you? Yes. I've just created a private contract for the people paying attention. Is there anything owed to you for your service or oath of office? No. Do I personally owe you anything for your service or oath of office? No. Well, good. Since you've been paid on time, you swore an oath to support the Constitution, and there's nothing owed to you, would you please tell me the 13th Article of Bill of Rights? Well, that's a trick question. There is no 13th Article of Bill of Rights, 13th Amendment. But do you know it? No, you don't know it. Well, it clearly states, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist in the United States as territory subject to its jurisdiction. Oops. How about the 14th? No state shall make or enforce any law that abridges the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall any state deprive any person of equal protection law. So are you here to protect me or to screw me? Are you here to protect that lady, or are you here to screw her? By the way, do you have a warrant? What does Article 4 say? I don't know. And then I ask him, if you were a mechanic, if you were paying a mechanic for the last 3 years, and one day your car's not working properly, and your friend gets in the car and says, oh, it's probably your carburetor. Another friend gets in and he laughs his butt off and he says, we haven't had carburetors in cars for 20 years. And you go to your mechanic you've been paying all this time, and you say, well, which one do I have, a carburetor or an injector rail? And the mechanic goes, I don't know. So you pop the hood and you go, well, where's the carburetor at? I don't know. How about the injector rail? I don't know. Well, how about the radio? Which radiator, at least you know about the rate. Nope. Wouldn't you say that mechanic had been committing fraud? They go, yes. And by the way, if you don't know, I've done this live to a sheriff, live on national radio. Wouldn't you say that they were impersonating a mechanic? Yes. Wouldn't you want your money back? Yes. Wouldn't you say they were committing fraud? Yes. And they don't even have an oath of office, do they? Now, I got witness around there. I can arrest that man right there. He admitted, what does it say in the Constitution? By the witness of two or more to the same overt act, or by confession in open court. What is a court? Court comes to the root term of courtyard. When you have a bunch of people around you, that's a courtyard. I just held court. I can arrest that man for impersonating an officer, for embezzling the office, for all sorts of stuff. And if he used the lights, he's assaulted her. If he used the siren, he's assaulted her. That is assault and battery. Do you have a warrant? No. What does it say in Hale versus Hinkle, page 74? See if I remember this one right. Among his rights are the immunity of himself and his property from search or seizure, except under a warrant of the law. How did I do? Anyone following along here? Let me see if I can find Hale versus Hinkle. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Come on. Where are you? Oh, well, okay. Oh, you're up here. That's where. I get all these other documents open. It's crazy.
Crazy. Crazy for feeling so blue.
Oh. Constitution unanimous. No, I'm looking for help for a single, please. No. Oh, here it is. Had it right in front of me. All right, what is that? Page 74? 75. Okay. Let me read it. See if I did well. Among his rights are a refusal to incriminate himself and the immunity of himself and his property from arrest or seizure except under a warrant of the law. Well done. He owes nothing to the public so long as he does not trespass upon their rights. Do you have a warrant? Did you ask her a question? Did you require her to give you some form of information which amounts to an interrogation? Did you Mirandaize her? Did you read her Miranda rights before you interrogated her? That's how you win cases too. You just put in a motion to strike the record, everything that's on the record. Because everything that cop took without Mirandaize is what's called fruit from the poisonous tree, including the name that was on the driver's license. How many people know that? Oh, and by the way, he's like, well, what are you charged with? I'm going to charge you on 18 U.S.C. federal crime. 18 U.S.C. 241. Anyone know 18 U.S.C. 241? That you will find is in the best, the one that says best unanimous. What is that? Best unanimous. How did I phrase it here? Yeah, this is it. Yeah, best, comma, the unanimous declaration, comma, constitution, 18 U.S.C. You'll find it there. 18 U.S.C. 241, conspiracy against rights. If two or more persons, well, you know, usually cops are out there with this more than one, right? And even if there's only one, why can I still say there's two? Because he has a radio, and he can call for backup. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate, ma'am, do you feel threatened or intimidated? Yeah, I think she feels threatened and intimidated. Conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate. And by the way, they won't let you go, and they will say that they will take you to jail if you do not sign that instrument, which, by the way, is a security instrument which they engage in uttering and passing to the courts, which then act as debt collectors without a license. In other words, every ticket that they do, this whole menagerie on, is equal to about 100 years in jail. Now, after I get through...
What did you say?
Huh?
You said if we're to sign anything, to put BY before it?
That's right. Now you're merely the authorized signature, not the liable part, not the surety for the all upper, because the thing they do is the all uppercase letter entity, isn't it?
Mm.
You, that is not your given name, is it? And have you ever made application to the state to make the all uppercase name yours, by the way, which you need to do? We should all, I haven't done it yet, but we should all copyright that and any derivative thereof. Now every document that has the all uppercase name, they have to give it back to you and destroy it. And they have to pay you for every time they use it. That's another way of solving the problem. I don't use it and I don't share it with people because that is not going to solve the problem. Because think about how many millions of people would have to do that, copyright the all uppercase letter name. And invariably I have found that anytime we find a solution, they come up with a way to defeat it. It doesn't solve the problem. The problem is corruption. The problem is evil. The problem is our failure to be good antibodies, to do what we're supposed to do, which is to keep these offices clean, to make sure that only honorable people are in those positions of public trust. That's the solution. And because it covers everything, it covers the courts, the clerks. The clerks are just empty. You got the courts, you got the clerks. You got the police officers, you got the sheriffs, you got the deputies, you've got the hit squads, you got the FBI, the CIA, the president, the vice president, the speaker of the House, every senator, every congressman, every judge. What does it say in Article 6? The judges and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. You see how important it is to know the law. Anything in the constitutional laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. That's a pretty powerful statement. But again, what are we concerned about? That they understand the principles upon which it's founded. What is the principle and what is the purpose for which government was created, no matter what form it takes? That to secure these rights. Governments are instituted among men. It's just, I mean, it's so simple. All you have to do is memorize the Unanimous Declaration of Independence, as you know it. It's actually the Unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States of America. And know that no form of government can do that which you cannot do first. Because the power that the government has comes from the people. So let me read it to you. If you're up on 18 U.S.C. 241. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any inhabitant in any state, territory, commonwealth, or district in the free exercise or enjoyment, woohoo, la, 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 I'm enjoying myself. Boo! Now I'm not enjoying myself. Yep. It has to do with enjoyment. Or, it says or. They don't even have to do anything. If they have stopped you from enjoying your exercise of a right, which is the right to freely travel, unencumbered by any license, any rules, any regulations, so long as you don't trespass on somebody else's rights or recklessly endanger them, would you be trespassing on their rights? Then he can arrest your reckless endangerment upon the public. But if he doesn't have that, he must have a warrant. And if he sees you doing something that he thinks, oh, well, you're going 5 miles or 10 miles over the speed limit, he needs to go to a magistrate and get a warrant. And the magistrate will not give him a warrant if he's a lawful magistrate. You know why? Because the speed limit does not apply to the people. It applies to those persons engaged in transporting passenger property for compensation over the highway, not people traveling upon their highways and roadways. You see the difference? But everyone's got a slave mentality. They can't get to the point where they realize, oh, these are our roads. Oh, we travel upon them and they transport over. Oh, I never thought about that. Oh, that's not my all upper. I don't have an all uppercase name. That's not my given name. That must not be me. It's hidden in plain sight. But we have been conditioned. We have been controlled opposition too. What's the other word I'm looking for? Spellbound. 440 hertz. What's it called? Subliminal programming. Look that one up.
Yes, I believe that. So, Colin, I know about the 440 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the true frequency? Is it 420 or 430?
The right one?
God's frequency. Right. Yeah, the right
one. A lot of people say it's 436. Or is it 432?
Oh.
432.
There, 432?
432. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because that is the perfect number. If you look, if you know the, if you've seen, the picture of man, the ratios are 432. The ratios, if you look at a shell, is 432. If you look at the pyramids, 432. You see it repeated. The Earth's circumference mm-hmm. versus the, all of this stuff goes down to 432. It's mathematical stuff. For me personally, Luella's piano has a beautiful sound to it. And I have gotten three other pianos and that were free, and I moved them, and it's no fun trick, but I'm pretty good at it. And I get them at my place, and I'm like, these just don't sound very good. They're older pianos. They look nice, but they just don't have that sweet sound. And we finally figured out it must be tuned to a different frequency. Well, the other day, this is like, what, now 4 years later, I found this little thing. See, this is God working again. I found this little thing, which I'd had for a long time, didn't know what it was. I didn't even know what it was. It was this round little dial thing that said something. It looked like a watch, but it didn't have like a place to put a band or anything. I was like, what is this? So I finally got a hold of a battery, and I put it in there, and I push a bunch of buttons, and it comes up. And the first thing I noticed was it said 440 hertz. But then there's an arrow up and an arrow down. I was like, oh, I can change it. So I went to this piano, and I had it on 440 hertz, and I played the piano, and it was out of tune. I then brought it down to 436, and it was in tune at 436. I then went to my guitar, which every time I get around other people who have their guitars properly tuned, and my voice has a hard time singing to it, I actually found out when I hit a note, I'm actually tuned at 430, around 435, 436. Almost the same note that the piano is tuned to. And that's like if I'm walking outside or I do something, I just hit a note. And I have that little machine there, that little thing. It's a digital machine that would tell you what the note is. If it's if I tune it to my voice, it says 436. So my conclusion is anything but 440. And here's a fun one.
Yeah.
Check this out. I did some further homework. Guess which country instituted as law that 440, all musical instruments had to be tuned to 440. Can anyone tell me, just a wild guess, what country did that first?
England?
Excuse me?
London, England?
Close. They were second.
I would say Austria.
No. Quick clue.
Italy.
Ah, bingo.
Germany.
Why Italy? Which country has the most, well, actually not Italy, Spain. Which country has the most number of deaths due to COVID?
Italy had a lot.
And maybe
it was Italy. Had what?
Excuse me?
To repeat, Colin.
Ah. I have to look it up again. I thought it was either Spain or Italy. It was one of those two. I don't know. They all seem the same to me, but I'm just kidding. But I believe it was Spain. Was it Italy? I can't remember. Anyway,
Italy had a lot.
Whichever one had the most of deaths from COVID was the same one that instituted 440 as a requirement. They were the first country to do it. Wow. Went next. And then sometime after that, America went to it. But it's not required.
Oh. Wow.
I just thought it was interesting. I'm not.
That is
putting things together. I just thought the moment that I saw that it said the country that did, I thought it was either Italy or Spain. No, it was Spain. But if you look at Spain, Spain had one of the highest number of death rates due to COVID. And I had heard before that because of 5G in China, that they were able to use the COVID and now the nanotechnology, and they could literally kill you instantaneously by using 5G, setting your body to a certain frequency. And I saw a short video, a sci-fi video, which was almost 10 years old, and it showed that they inject people in the future, you know, it was inject them in the future with these nanobots that when a frequency is hit, these little nanobots come alive because the frequency generates, if you know about a self-winding watch, if you shake the watch, or if anyone's had a jog counter, you know, the moment that thing moves, it goes click, 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 every move. Well, that's basically, it has a self-winding watch, has a little spindle, a weight on it. It goes, whoop, 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 whoop. When you move, it goes, whoop, 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 and it winds the clock up, or it winds up the spring, or generates electricity, whichever one it is, so that the battery in there is constantly being recharged. Well, they can use the same technology, nanotechnology. You have a little tiny machine that sits dormant until the right frequency makes it vibrate. And when it vibrates, it creates through magnetic, a miniature magnetic magnet and electric windings. So they have electromagnet moving back and forth at the right frequency. And that creates electricity, which brings it alive. And now it does what it's supposed to do, which it goes and it grabs a hold of some part of your body and then injects the fluid into your body that it wants, which is a poison, and it can paralyze you instantly. And the idea was that everyone had it so that a police officer wouldn't have to chase you. They could just push a button, and pointed at you, and the 440 hertz or whatever it was would go bzzz, and the little nanobots would inject with basically a sleeping thing and paralyze you. And that was done like 10 years ago, predicting the future, so to speak. That's why I tell people, whatever you do, don't get the testing. Whatever you do, don't get the vaccine, because they're injecting you with these nanobots. And if you go look at Hollywood has been putting out for the last 5 years series, literally series that people go and watch day in, you know, oh, I can't wait till the next one comes out. Of what? Zombies. Well, if they have these nanobots that they can turn on to inject you with stuff that paralyzes you, we see people reacting immediately. We see people dying immediately. And we see, literally, people don't know this, but there's hundreds, if not thousands now. It's up to thousands now. Thousands of people dropping dead as a result, right after they get the vaccine, the first one, and even on the second one. And they also have people that start getting the jitters, and they get paralyzed, and they get, what's the other one, when you go into, what do you call it, when you have, what are these, what is it that Hippo used to have, not paralyzed, seizure. The people go into seizures. And I've listened to a bunch of stories about it where, you know, it's slow after they got, you know, vaccines way back when. Stories of this mother telling about how her child almost instantly started getting seizures, but they slowly faded over time. And that's how she learned how to clean out the body from the heavy metals and stuff that's in there. I mean, when you just start doing something, and I don't have much time, but God has led me to hearing enough. If you go to, like I said, the easiest way to do it is, I trust Red Pill. He has some of the best guests. Go to Red Pill 78 News and look for a Friday and Saturday night and the guests that they have on there. The one with the nurse, the whistleblower nurse from New York, and the other one with the...
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I've heard her.
And then there's another one he just did recently, The Truth About Cancer and the... COVID. And there,
Mark Taylor Mark Taylor confirms the 440 frequency. Mark Taylor even says it.
Well, Mark Taylor's pretty spot on most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time.
So how about we open up to, I know I've been rolling here because I'm all fired up, and, you know, I get fired up when I, you know, it's like I'm panicking. I'm in panic mode for everybody because they're not seeing that they're in quicksand and they only have a small amount of time to grab the stick and pull themselves out. So in the meantime, I'm sorry if I'm going so fast. I apologize, and talking so strong and loudly, but, you know, sometimes it shakes the brain up, you know, maybe, and gets you get it to work again, you know. I mean, they've been put to sleep.
Yeah, but you're using the 435 frequency.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go with this. Anybody have any? Oh, yeah. And that other lady that came on, do you remember your question?
Carol.
No, I still don't. I have to write it down and email it to you, because I don't remember it.
Did you have a question?
Great.
What was the question somebody else had? Do you have a question?
Well, the first night I was on, you mentioned something in that. Like, if you want, to me, you were saying, if you wanted to get a corporation, right? Or if you wanted to start a business, what if you don't want to corporate it?
All right, what's your question?
Is it better not to corporate it and just have it as a partnership, or just get a tax ID number to it instead? Because most people corporate, because if you're sued, supposedly, then you, the individual, will not be sued. It would be the corporation.
Exactly. And now you know the reason why we create legal entities, whether it's a partnership, whether it's an LLC, or whatever. it is to reduce liability so that the thing can sue and be sued as a business entity. It also can be perpetual. You can die and go away and it'll still keep going. It all depends upon what you're looking for. But once you understand that once you create a legal entity by and through the state, naturally that legal entity has that legal entity which can sue and be sued is without a conscience. Am I correct? It's not a creation of God.
Right. It's an entity.
That's right. And it has no conscience, right?
Right.
So as a result, it has to have rules, regulations, statutes, and codes to regulate its behavior, correct?
Right.
And why is it that? To ensure that the legal entity does not harm anyone, correct? And as a result, guess what Hale versus Hinkle says, though? It says not only is it not to harm anyone, it must be for the benefit of the people. Now, why is that? Or benefit of the public. Why is that? Because the state cannot create or allow something to be created that does not benefit the people. So you can have a private business that does not benefit the public, but you're 100% liable for what that business does or doesn't do. So you can make profit, you can make money, it can be all about you and all about the business that you're engaged in, but you're without the protection. You're 100% liable for everything that business does. But if you're going to create something by and through the state, it must benefit the public. Because the state was created by the people, and what do we know about anything that's created by the people under the Constitution or, in fact, under the unanimous declaration? That to secure these rights, governance institute among men, deriving their just powers to the consent of the governed. Who's the governed? Those that consent to being governed by taking a place in public trust. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter policy, institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers. So there you have, organizing its powers. So if it's going to grant licenses and special franchises to a legal entity to exist, and organizing his powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect or cause, bring about their safety and happiness. So if it's a public entity or an entity created by a public, by the public state, it must be for the benefit of the people. So if you don't want to benefit the people, then you should keep yourself a private company. But if you want the protections that a legal entity, whether it's a corporation or partnership or limited liability company through the state, it must be to benefit the public.
Yeah, okay. Can, is it okay to say, but it's not like you're discouraging people from having a private business, because just because you want a private business doesn't mean you don't want to benefit the people.
No. Not at all.
Okay.
I'm just saying, what I'm saying is if you don't want to be bound by the state and if you don't want to have to benefit the people, the public,
by the rules.
Right, then you keep it private.
Right, because I privately want a private business, but I do everything to benefit.
Absolutely.
Everyone.
Absolutely.
The whole world, all God's children.
Right, that's what houses of worship is supposed to be.
Right.
Or houses, the right of the people to be secure in the person houses papers and effects. And it goes back to Hale versus Hinkle, which says he is entitled to carry on his own business in his own way. He owes no duty to the public to or his neighbor to divulge his business.
Right.
But the moment that you have a legal entity that's created by and through the state,
right,
it can only be to benefit the public.
Right.
But that's what we're all supposed to be doing anyway. Because if you're benefiting the public, then you're getting benefited. And, oh, wait a minute, you might have a stable organization, so you make sure you have a stable paycheck, which is why a lot of people go work for corporations, bigger corporations, because it's more stable. Is that making sense? Any more questions on that one?
No.
But
well, what do you call it?
Well, once you create a legal entity by and through the state, that legal entity is now subject to the state, which makes it a taxpayer. That does not make you a taxpayer. It makes the legal entity a taxpayer. And that legal entity now, you, when you make application, it must have an assumed name. Now, you can make the assumed name the same as yours, but in all uppercase letters, so everyone knows that the assumed name of the legal entity is a legal entity. So when it gets sued, not you. Now it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, but will the judges know that?
You have to create a fictitious business name.
That's right.
And submit it. Right.
That's right. And that's what they're suing in court. But you walk up there, you waive your affirmative defenses. That is, I don't have any such legal entity as that. That's not mine. I didn't create anything. Or as I said to the woman today, always ask a question or make a statement which basically requires them to provide something. The court is absent any evidence, first of all, that the legal entity exists, and second of all, that I have a relationship where I am liable for whatever that legal entity does. Because the whole reason you create a legal entity is so that you don't have liability. So it's completely contradictory for the reason you would have a legal entity. The legal entity is there in order to protect you from being sued. And yet here they are bringing you, the man or woman, into court. But how do they trick you? First of all, they make you ignorant, so you fail to assert your affirmative defenses within 30 days. And they always make the court case 31 days out. So you walk into court, and they call the name, which is the all uppercase assumed name, legal entity name, and you go, I'm here, which means that you're representing that legal entity name. You're the liable party. So the court makes its decision in accordance with the law of legal entities, which, as we said, legal entities don't have the same rights as people do. So they then convict the legal entity, but you're there as the surety, so you do the time. You pay the fine. But the way you can stop that is you simply say, hey, I'm more than willing to pay the fine. Please give me two checks of the defendant. Huh? Give me two checks of the defendant because it's the defendant's account that I want an account. You have two accounts. One, I have my account, or maybe I don't have any bank account. And then there's a legal entity bank account. That's why I make sure I go back to the bank and I make sure that they put it in the upper and lowercase proper name. In the proper with first name, middle name, and then last name. So it's my account. You hear people say, well, the government came in and took funds out of my account. How? Well, did they take funds out of your account or did they take funds out of an all uppercase legal entity named account where you are the authorized signature? If you go look at a check on that line that you sign, if you use a magnifying glass, it says authorized signature, authorized signature, authorized signature, which makes you the authorized signature to the all uppercase named account.
But if you put the by before it.
That's right. Now you're the agent, not the surety. And the moment you tell the court, you know, like I said, the short version I have is I'm here for that matter by special appearance only. There's been a mistake. And I require this court to provide me with the contact information of the registered agent of the defendant. Now what you've done is you've eliminated any assumption and presumption that you are the registered agent or the surety or any other legal entity to it. I mean, legal relationship with it. As I said, in the case of the property taxes in Pennsylvania, I got the attorneys. I had the guy ask the attorneys, is your attorney firm a taxpayer? Yes. Is it required to pay taxes? Yes. Do you pay that out of your account or out of the account of the attorney firm? Oh, the attorney firm. I said, good, then give me two checks. I'll be glad to pay the taxes. Two checks from the account of the legal entity taxpayer. And do you remember the second part? What's the other check for? I don't work for free.
Yeah, for you.
That's right. And that goes back to the story I told about the one who was the servicer serving me papers, who then said, I'm paying 100% taxes. And then I said, well, when was the last time that your LLC paid its employee, you? And he looked at me stupid because he had never had the LLC write a check out of its account to pay its employee, which was him. He couldn't separate himself. He thought he was the LLC. once he started writing a check from the LLC's account to his employee, which is wages, not income, all of a sudden the LLC is at dead zero, which means no excess, no profit, which is the only thing that's taxable, not gross income, but net income. Net income is gross income minus cost. Cost is paying your employees. So once he paid his employees and the cost of doing business, then it was zero. There was nothing left over. There was no profit. There was no excess, which is, if you go read the IRS code, that is the only thing that's taxable is the excess or profit. You see, everything makes sense once you understand how it's supposed to be and how it's supposed to work, and you work it the way it's supposed to be worked. That's why the rich people, everyone thinks they're getting around the law. No, you go look at the IRS code. It is your duty, in fact, for you to avoid paying taxes you're not supposed to pay. Evading taxes that you're supposed to pay, that's a crime. But are you supposed to pay the taxes, or is the legal entity supposed to pay the taxes? Now we have the real question that they don't want you to ask. And I got a real question for you, knowing everything I just shared. If you have a business buying through the state, what business, and it's not interstate, what business is it the IRS, which is internal to the United States? And the United States is not the several states, is it? So if you're not engaged in interstate business and have a license through the United States, subject to the United States, this is right out of Hale versus Hinkle, by the way. So if you're not engaged in the interstate business, why does the IRS, which is internal to the United States, have anything to do with you in the first place? And that's where people pay the majority of the taxes, isn't it? That's just a question.
Right.
I can't answer that one other than deception and fraud. And by the way, if you go to the IRS code, you actually find where the taxes are supposed to be paid by the United States anyway. It's right there. I remember it was like 3:30 in the morning, and I'm half groggy, and I actually called somebody. I said, I'm so sorry to wake you up. Would you please read this? I can't believe what I just read. It says that the taxes are supposed to be paid by the United States. Isn't that what that's saying? It was in the amendments. It wasn't in the original. It was in the amendments, like, 1,500 pages of amendments. There's a little tiny section in there. I was like, is that saying what I think it's saying? I'm quite kind of groggy here. And they're like, oh, my God, holy crap, that's what it's saying. Why? Because all debts are obligations of the United States. What? How many people know that? All debts are obligations of the United States.
So, Colin, is that where the NESA to Sarah come in?
No.
Or something like that, or is that just not even true?
I'm going to upset people, but I have no faith in the Sarah, I don't care what it is. It's been around for 15 years.
That's
it keeps losing its head every 3 years.
Awesome.
And nothing happens with it. So I have to zoom and assume that it's a lie. Huh?
That's great. That's what I thought.
Well, let me also share this with you. The first time that came, well, I don't know about the first time. Well, yeah, it was the first time it came out. I got a hold of the author of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed him how what he was doing was creating another dictatorship with it. And then three or four years later, it was amended and changed, and it was better. And I said, no, but you're still requiring the people to become part of your trust, of the Nasera Trust. You had to sign on trust. That means that now they become subject to the trust. No, I'm talking about absolute freedom. You're doing the same thing that the United States and all these other corporate entities are trying to get us to believe. Now you would actually truly, by getting people to sign on, it's a trick. You would be signed on as part of that trust. So I said, no, I'm not. No, I don't go for that. I am going to institute and require that my freedoms to not be part of any trust in order for my rights to be secured, which is why I go to Hale versus Hinkle. His rights existed long antecedent to the organization of the state. I don't want to go hide somewhere else. I don't want to go to another country. I don't want to be in another trust. So now they changed it again. I believe they changed another two or three or four more times to try and bury it. And look, I haven't read it. I haven't read the latest one. So if anyone has a copy of it, I'd be glad to go through and pick it apart for you on another call and show you what I'm talking about. And then they're supposed to this debt jubilee thing. Well, what is that?
Right, that too.
Right. So what is that telling you? It's once again reinforcing the fact that you're a debtor. And they'll drag that out for the next 50, 100, 200 years. Oh, debt jubilee, all your debt's going to be forgiven. Your debt jubilee. And you'll keep on going just like I heard the other day. Well, you got, what's his name? Who's the investigator on the, what's his name? Not Brennan. Who's the one that's still doing the investigation that quit one of the other positions?
Durham.
Everyone's relying on Durham. Well, lately we heard this great and wonderful thing. Apparently, Durham got more evidence. Oh, they got more evidence. They got more sealed indictments. More sealed indictments. I don't see prosecutions. Actually, there are some, but that's irrelevant. Not relevant to his investigation. And the first thing I said when I heard it, got more evidence, we have enough evidence. We have enough evidence on the public record. 33,000 emails gone after a court order. Go to jail now. We'll find other evidence of other crimes you committed. But in the meantime, you're off the street. Smashing something with a ball peen hammer. Whitewashing something with bleach bit. That shows intent. That's an expensive program. That's an expensive process after you are under a court order. And even if you're not under a court order, you're not allowed to destroy government property. You're not allowed to destroy evidence anyway. When you're in an office, you don't own anything. Everything, that phone, everything that they have, the email, everything is government.
Even in corporate America, it belongs to a company.
Yes, and you steal something from a company and see how fast your butt gets into jail.
Exactly.
It's more garbage to keep us going, oh, we're waiting for our savior. We're waiting for our savior. That's why I yell at people, why are you waiting for Trump to do it? It's not Trump's job. It's not Christ's job. It's not even God's job. This is our creation. It's our job. That's not God's teenager. That's not Trump's teenager. Huh?
But how do you get the people around you to start changing their thinking to know that?
Well, learn the law and start prosecuting them. That'll wake them up real quick. But as I said, right now, the simple solution... The easiest solution was one
phone. Another question. I was just thinking about something a friend of mine was experiencing. She's an LLC and she did her taxes.
Hold on a minute. Listen to your wording. You said she is an LLC and she was doing her taxes.
No, she has an LLC.
Thank you.
As well as individual personal taxes. And I don't know
well,
what happened.
She has personal taxes?
With her own individual.
No, she
taxes separate.
How could she have taxes? Is she a taxpayer? Is she a legal entity created by the state?
Her LLC.
But she said her LLC, this is important. You want to know how I'm going to share with you how right now is not allowing anyone to speak a false statement.
Okay.
She cannot have any taxes. She can have an entity such as an LLC that is a taxpayer and it has taxes and she may be the CFO or the one responsible to pay the taxes on behalf of that legal entity, but she herself cannot have personal taxes. Person.
Right.
And if you go look at her personal taxes, which, you know, the terms you use, if you go look at her personal taxes, what name do you think is going to be on that tax reform? An all uppercase letter name. That's not her given name. This is where it begins. This is the stealthy encroachment by the words that you speak. So let's be clear. She is paying taxes on behalf of the LLC, and she's fraudulently filing tax returns on behalf of a legal entity that does not exist. Unless she has a company with the all uppercase name that looks like hers, probably last name first, in which case I would say, well, what's the name of that business? Well, that's the name of the business. Now we know the name of the business. When did you make application and what kind of business is it engaged in that you're paying taxes on? You can't answer those questions because they don't exist, which means that the legal entity itself does not exist. When did you make application and have that as an assumed name? That's like this whole nonsense of them trying to get a hold of Trump's tax returns. Trump doesn't have any tax returns unless he's an idiot. But Trump Towers, Trump this, Trump that, Trump the other thing, Mar-a-Lago, Trump this, all of those can be separate business entities. And each one of those are taxpayers, and each one of them are required to pay taxes. And they possibly subpoena the taxes on those legal entities. But Trump himself doesn't have any taxes. Now, if he's the CFO and he's required to pay the taxes and do the taxes and he signs off on it, then he could be held liable to, in some manner to those taxes being improper or something. But the legal entity, the corporate entity, unless he has a relationship that requires him to sign off and do this and do that, so far as the tax goes, he ain't got nothing to do with it. Trump could go on vacation, he could die tomorrow, and this corporation will still exist. What are they going to do? Dig him up out of the grave and go, hey, your corporation filed false tax returns. We're gonna impeach you. Do you see what I'm getting at? There has to be a legal relationship. Where is the chain? We talk about chain of title. Where is the chain of command of you? Where is the legal attachment? Where is the relationship? You have to hold a position that makes you liable or accountable. Again, the whole reason you create a corporation is so that you don't have liability. The legal entity gets sued, not you. So what was your question again? Sorry.
No, so I'm trying to get clarity of what she was explaining to me about her personal individual tax return was, I don't know what occurred, but because they said her LLC owes, they're holding on to her individual income tax refund. So I don't know.
That's because I almost guarantee she commingled. You know what the term commingling means?
I understand it, but I don't know how she could have with the LLC.
That's where you have a checking account that you're writing checks out of your alleged private account on behalf of the LLC. So commingling, the funds come in instead of having two separate accounts, one for the LLC and one for you. Instead, she just thought that she is the LLC or thought she held a position, so she didn't open a separate account, or she commingled the money somehow.
Okay, I'll find out.
Yeah, find out. But she should not be filing any tax returns lawfully unless she has a legal entity with the all uppercase lettered name. But no one's willing to fight it. I'm just telling you the truth. And how are you going to fight it when you don't have 30,000 people that would go with you in a heartbeat to the beach or go with a heartbeat to go see Trump or go to the movies? You can find a bunch of people to go to the movies, go here, go there, but you can't find 10 people to go to the legislature with you. And you can find two people that would go to you to court. Something wrong about that.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're being falsely accused. And that's because the two people know that if they go down there and help you, assist you, or even give you emotional support, that they'll become a target. So boohoo, we're scared to death, let's run away and not help our friend out. What does our community say? Love thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is like none of the first. Love thy neighbor. Yeah, we love him so much we're going to let him go to court all by himself. I've gotten cases dismissed just because I brought somebody else, and the sheriff, when we were going in there, I said, you don't have a warrant. I'm not going to, I don't have to abide by this unlawful seizure, search and seizure. And then the sheriff says, and he was amazed how much I knew. And he goes, I was amazed at how much he knew. And he goes, what are you here for? And I said, we are here as lawful witnesses. This guy was going to jail. And that judge, every time we looked up from our papers, guess who she was looking at as we took notes? She was looking at us, the lawful witnesses. That guy was going to jail. Not today, he wasn't. Why? Because there was two lawful witnesses quietly sitting there writing down on legal pads. People have no idea how much power they have. They have no idea how much weight their signature is. Just like people don't realize how much power we have through prayer. You know why I know the COVID thing is killing people?
Why?
Because we prayed that it would be broken. And God gave me a vision 2 days later that showed me, and I didn't even know what COVID was. You have the DNA and then you have the RNA. RNA is half of the ladder. I didn't know that. But God showed me in the vision, he showed me RNA, and that's what made me go look it up. And he showed me that one of those rungs on the ladder was broken. It was still attached, but it was broken. And I asked him later, why was it still attached and not broken off? He said, because then it wouldn't match. So for their testing, it had to match. It had to have the leg there. But so far as killing people, it was broken.
That's so smart.
And that's because we prayed for it. We simply asked. Remember that hurricane that was supposed to go over Florida? I got it recorded. This is on the national call. And everybody was praying for protection of the people in Florida, praying. Next thing I know, we're being compelled to simply say, well, why do we need to pray for everyone in Florida? Let's just ask that the hurricane stay out to sea. And then at the end of that prayer, as always, it was said, let your will be done. Use that hurricane as ye see fit. Let your will be done. And guess what I found out later? That the hurricane lingered over an island that there was a port, a large shipping port, that China owned and destroyed it. And when you tracked the hurricane, you found out that it went over all of the islands that the Killaries, the Clintons, were gathering children for child trafficking. And the place where it hit land in North Carolina was the place where the kids were being brought into this country. I think God answered that prayer real good.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's the power of prayer. When you have more than one person together in agreement, that's why we pray the way we do. In agreement, it is so. In Christ's name, in agreement in Christ's name, because we're calling on Christ's name. These things and greater shall you do in my name. I take what he said 100% verbatim. I take it to heart. So we have two or more people on these prayer calls. We got two or more people. And the more I found, it makes more powerful, more people in agreement. Instead of just saying, you know, so shall it be, which I used to say, because shall means anytime in the future. Bringing it to the present. In Christ's name, it is so. Right now. And I did not know it, but I looked later that literally within an hour, if not right away within minutes, that hurricane stopped going over Florida. And here's a little secret for people who don't know this. You can pray for something that's already happened and don't know. Now, if I didn't bend your brain on that one, God may have found out, knows no time, so prayers may have already been answered, but it still is necessary that we ask for them. We can ask for prayers in the future, but we can also ask for prayers in the past that have already happened, but it still needed to be spoken into existence because there's no time for God. So that's why when you say it is so, it may have already happened. Because God knew that you were going to make that prayer, which now means what? This is a two-way relationship. God uses us to make a prayer. to speak it into existence. How do we know this? Genesis. In the beginning, what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God.
Right.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be that, and God said, put the pieces together. That's why we need to be in prayer all the time. That's why, you know, what was it? Remember one time we had a call and you're having electronic problems? And we prayed? And what happened to the electronic problems? Gone. It's all around us. But they don't want us to know this. They're hiding it from us. And if you believe that you're a debtor, if you believe you're a slave, if you believe you're a taxpayer, you believe you're subject to the state, the last thing you're going to do is command things to happen in Christ's name. Or ask for them to happen in Christ's name and then say, it is so. If you don't know the law, you can't stand on the law.
That is true.
I stand there all day long, and I sit there and say what I said. What name do you have on that piece of paper? That's an all uppercase letter name, isn't it? Well, that means, and that now I got it now. I say, everyone knows that means that it's a legal entity. Now they're going to say, watch their eyes bug out and gulp when you say the word everyone knows. Because everyone used to know. So now I'm making an assumptive statement, aren't I? Who is everyone? Everyone I've talked to, so I'm not lying. And everyone I know, everyone knows, get it? Everyone knows that that's an all uppercase means that it's a legal entity. So what's the? So now that we know the name of the business, what type of business is it engaged in? Oops. So when I say I require the court, there's been a mistake, I'm telling the court there's been a mistake. That stops everything. And I require this court to provide me with the contact information of the registered agent because all legal entities are required of a registered agent. You're also correcting them and letting them know, obviously, you're not the registered agent. But they assume that until you make a statement. Now, I don't like denying things. I can say, oh, I'm not the registered agent. Now I'm making a statement that I have to prove. Instead, I put the burden of proof on them. I require this court to provide me with the registered agent of the defendant, knowing that the defendant is an all uppercase legal entity. They can't provide that. So they will get you out of there because they don't want anyone else waking up. They get you out of there quick. Although, technically speaking, that proves to you that it's a corrupted court that knows something. But if you're all by yourself, well, yeah, that's what you do. And that's only after I've been thrown in jail many times. I had to learn these lessons I'm sharing with you the hard way. Much studying and much practice and much going to jail many times. Of course, the reason they let me out of jail is I'm running around educating everybody in the jail. But they release you, they get you to sign something, don't they? And guess what they get you to sign? Another security instrument. So now you start realizing that it's all about your signature. Think of all the garbage and all the pieces of paper in a mortgage, when you get a mortgage or a quote-unquote mortgage loan. Look at all the paper. Look at all the shenanigans you have to go through. It's all garbage. It's all a facade just to get you to believe that you're a borrower and you have to pay back a debt. It's all a smokescreen. Kind of like Biden being the president. Big, huge lies. Big, huge smokescreen. He didn't take a proper oath of office. He wasn't voted in. And he's not competent either, by the way. And they knew he wasn't competent. Somebody was talking about somebody bring a suit because they allowed him to come into office, the Democrat Party. They allowed him to come into office knowing that he was senile, knowing that he was incompetent or inability to even perform.
To me, Biden isn't Biden, though.
What do you mean?
if you put a picture of him, of how he is now, and you put a picture of how he was before, or not even a picture, because you can't tell.
Uh-huh.
In the way he used to be when he was with Obama,
uh-huh.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at who he is now.
Well,
he's not the same.
I don't agree with you, and I'll tell you why. If you look, one that people are talking about is the ears. But if you look at the ears in the past, he had an earlobe, and now if you look, he doesn't. Well, the reason is, I believe that because they put, have you ever heard of where they put a hearing aid that goes and connects to the bone? If you look at the earlobe that's filled in where there is no earlobe anymore, it's a prosthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee if they were going to have a second Biden, he would be a lot more capable than this one is.
Well,
I mean, come on, common sense.
Speaking,
if you're going to substitute somebody, you're going to substitute them with a better product, not a worse product.
No. When you think of it spiritually, he's not Biden. He's not Biden.
Well, Biden's always been evil. Come on. He's been a liar from day one. I got 4 degrees from a college. He was at the bottom of his college. He's been a liar from day one. And if you've ever gone to the hospital, and you ever gone to the hospital and seen people when they're aging and they get dementia, trust me, their whole body changes. They don't even look. You literally do not recognize them. If you've ever
watched. Because he's not Biden, that's why he functions the way he functions.
You know.
But just more.
He's not. It's the body of Biden.
Right.
The body of
Biden. That's right. And they're injecting all sorts of stuff. And see, he's been cut off of adrenal chrome. All of them have been cut off from adrenal chrome. That's why they're all going nuts.
Yes. Well, I mean, if you want to look at how evil progressing, that woman with the glasses, that woman, is she a senator or congresswoman? You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, the one that's going to become the health guru?
The scary woman from young to old, she just like when she worked with China, she's the one with a Chinese butler. That woman, she...
Not Pelosi, the other one.
Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Yep.
Feinstein, look at her. She was young. Her face got progressively more and more evil. Now she looks like a gargoyle.
Yeah.
With makeup, it's like she looks so evil. But when she was younger, when she first started out, she looked like a normal woman. She just has so much demon in her. It's not even funny.
And that's what I'm talking about, Biden.
Yes, Biden. But
spiritually speaking, yes.
Right. But I feel like
he's got the body.
Right, but I feel like Biden from the
he's evil.
He never looked innocent. Not even when he was young. Even Feinstein looked, you know, somewhat like, okay, there's a human in there. I don't feel like Biden looked like a human at any point. You know what I mean?
Here's a comment from day one.
So anyway, that was just me.
Yeah,
sorry.
He's been a liar from day one. Some of these people, a lot of these people got turned.
Yeah.
Well,
it's escalated with Biden.
Yeah.
It's escalated.
Yeah.
It was a bigger entity
from day one.
That is there. It's a bigger entity than
well,
he may have had it then, but it grew.
Yeah, if you look at his if you look at his eyes, they're black. Well, he had blue eyes at one time. So the reason they're black is we believe is because they have to have the eyes black so he can read what's on the screen on these contact lenses.
Oh my gosh.
No, that's what they do. That's why he looks and stares off into space. He's trying to read the contact lenses that he has in his eyes. And in order to read it, it has to be a black background. So they put the black up there. But that's why he's trying to read. But when that stuff goes down, and I think what happens is the electronics, because we've been praying for it to go down,
mm-hmm.
to tell the truth. You know, we've made that prayer several times, and it's hilarious. You go and watch, next time I watch Biden, he tells the truth. Like we said, we have put together, and this worked for the Obama administration. Remember, he actually said that. And we use it for Obama. We created the most comprehensive voter fraud system ever devised mankind. What? He just admitted everything.
Yeah, he threw it in their face.
He said, he said, I don't need your vote.
Exactly.
And yet they voted for him.
Very few people voted for him. If you haven't seen it yet, go look up, and it's even on YouTube, I believe. If not, go to Rumble. And it is titled Absolute Proof. Absolute Proof of Voter Fraud. In fact,
I saw that one.
But, okay.
Excellent.
Yeah. And if you look at the end of it, as a bit of a technician who was in the military, they have actually the visual showing all of the bundles of information going from the instruments themselves to Spain, to France, to all these other places, and then the bundles coming back, and they're going directly to the demon machines.
Yep, they're in different colors. It's amazing. It's like a map of the world, flat map, and it shows all the arcs.
Yep.
Right. It's amazing. And he has specialists on, people good with numbers, studying it, researching it, giving all kinds of information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one is hard copy. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was saying, for being as a technician, the hard copy, the black and white paper, hard copy.
Okay.
It's, you know, thousands of pages long, but to a technician, they could look at those numbers and they'll be able to see the transactions that were going on. He showed a short bit of that in the video.
Yeah, that's right. That man, yeah, he did an incredible job.
Yeah, he did.
I was going to say, has anyone seen articles about, it's like buyer's remorse, it's evangelicals for Biden, they felt they were betrayed. And some big, somebody laid into them, some big, like, prophetic voice or something. I don't know, does anybody have any comments on that? Or?
Well, all I got to say, if somebody laid into them, then I would call it over the target, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know, guys. I like to have fun with it. You know, if I know somebody's a libtard and I'm in a bad mood and I want to go have some fun, I go find a libtard and go, Trump! And watch them scream and watch their head blow up and go crazy. And then I go, you know, sometimes I feel good, I'll go pray for them or something. But, I'm just a little bit mean like that, I guess.
Is there any more questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have watched the clip that Biden said that it looked like he's in the, like he talked to himself something. Maybe he talked to people, but he somehow he's in the moment, he was out of date or something. He said, we have the exclusive, extensive voter fraud, and it was in Obama, and we had it, and it's a bigger one in the history of America.
Right. Yeah.
Did you hear that? Did you got that?
Yeah, that's the one I was just quoting. That's the one I was quoting.
But I don't know why people don't do anything about that.
Nope. That's
what the power behind that.
Mm-hmm. Because the people who are in positions of public trust and quote unquote authority are all corrupted, and the people are not requiring them because the people are not exercising their authority to do so. And the way you do it is by creating legislation
that requires them to be tested to see if they're qualified to be in that position in the first place. And if they're not qualified and they're not competent, then you get them out of office. That's why I started off saying Trump, if you look at his new strategy, he realized he can't do it all the way from the top down, so he has to do it from the bottom up. So that's why he's creating a private funding thing in order to fund people who are willing and are good and honorable people and want to serve the people, and he will support them getting into office. And so if you listen to Red Pill 78 News, two nights ago or whatever, they're discussing that, and he said that what they were discussing is that if Trump supports somebody, they will win. He has that much power. So Trump is now sifting through and finding people that are good and honorable, and he will support them, and they will get them into office. And once we replace, it's the same thing I'm talking about, just minus the one that was given to me is slightly different. We institute legislation that will force them out, and then only the good and honorable people can pass the test and get in. Trump is doing the same thing. He's replacing all the bad guys by making sure that the people are good, he will support, and because he has the power and clout, that if he supports them, they'll get in. So it comes from the grassroots. And the way God showed me was this. Everyone keeps focusing on the seeing eye at the top of the pyramid. And what God showed me was this. That the foundation of the pyramid, if the foundation, which has the most number of stones, moves, everything that is above it, everything that is on the backs, if you will, of the lowest, when all of the lowest move together, everything above it moves with it. So they can have the top piece, they can be the top of the hill, but when the bottom, when the base, when the foundation moves in unison, everything moves with it. That's how God showed this to me, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. That's why it must be what we call a ground movement. It must be the people themselves. And that's why we are going through this process right now of awakening the people so that they will get the new good people will be voted in. Because the people have been woken up and go, hey, these are criminals and crooks. That's not the kind of people who want into office. But they have to feel it. As long as it's not them who is suffering, and that's why they're bailing out San Francisco and bailing out California with this COVID bill, which only 8% is going to the thing. We still have $1 trillion left over in the last one because they want to bail them out so the pressure is relieved. And, of course, they want to put money in their own pockets again. I mean, they're not stupid. They've been doing this game for a long time.
Excuse me, Carl. I have a question. There's been in the news different governors of different states are signing legislation to block Biden's executive orders. Do they have any legal standing with that? And is that a reputable way or a good way to block bad decisions from him to Biden?
Okay, let me answer that question correctly. Number one, they most definitely have legal standing. They not only have legal standing, but they have a duty. They should have been doing this all along. They have a duty and an obligation to disobey any unlawful order.
Okay.
And if Biden is without authority, or let me rephrase that. If the office of presidency is without authority to make such orders, then it is void ab initio, which means from the beginning. And it as if it does not exist and is unenforceable, and in fact you have a duty to disobey any unlawful order. So to answer your question, not only do they have something to stand on, but what you said was to, what was the word you used? It was a phrase, the word you used, for them to block. Okay, they're not blocking anything. They're not blocking anything. What they're actually doing is their attorney generals look at the law, look at the Constitution and see if the order is constitutional. Now, how do we know if it's constitutional or not? Article 10 of the Bill of Rights, the powers not delegated to the United States. So they go to the Constitution, and they look under the section for the presidency, and they see, does the president have this power to do that? If he does not, and or, notice I said and or, right? Either one, it's either or, and it can be and or, if it is unconstitutional in its intent. So, for instance, let's look at the immigration laws. Congress is the one that makes the immigration laws. Those laws are in place right now. Now, Congress could change them. Unless, of course, their change is unconstitutional, right? If it does not secure the rights of the people and provide for their safety and happiness, then that would be unconstitutional. But right now, just so far as the straight law goes, we have laws in place, immigration laws in place right now. Biden is without authority to do anything but create executive orders to enforce the laws as they're written. So if his executive orders are in contravention of the laws and the intent of the laws as they are written now, then it is an unlawful order that he has made. It's unconstitutional. He can only, remember, you have the legislature that legislates. They make the law. The executive is supposed to enforce and make the laws go. And the courts are supposed to look at the laws and make judgments based upon evidence of the law of that comes in, based upon the laws, to find guilt or no guilt in order to prosecute those that violate the laws. It's three separate branches. The courts cannot make law. The president does not make law. Congress makes law. And the people are the ones that vote their representatives, their agents, Congress, and senators. Right now, we have laws in place so far as immigrations go. If Biden is saying leave the borders open and allowing illegals to come in, that is a violation of our immigration laws. So the states have a duty and an obligation to, first of all, protect their state rights, which is to secure their borders. I mean, technically, every state that's on the border of Mexico could finance and build their own wall. And as the states are doing now, they are getting their own militia to come down there to protect the borders. It is their right to do that. It's not only their right, it is their duty to do that. So they're having their AGs, who are knowledgeable in the law, to comb through the Constitution, see if he is allowed or authorized by the Constitution, nothing else. He's not authorized by Pelosi. He's not authorized by anyone else, by the Constitution, to do or to put out an executive order. So they're now doing what they should have been doing a long time ago, which is to analyze every order that's put out, including Obama. Obama should have been put in jail the moment that he authorized a drone to kill any American. That's treason, amongst all the other treasonous things he did. So what they're doing now is they're finally doing their job. They're becoming active again and say, hey, wait a minute. Let's look at this. That doesn't sound right. Let's go look and see if it is. No, it's not. So they're not blocking it. What they're saying is they're saying, no. He is without authority. And then they create their own legislation that provides to make sure that everyone knows you do not obey that.
I look at it as such a lesson for if you're interested in learning and really learning how all this works, you know, like you're saying. But God can do this and stop it in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants us to do our part also.
Right.
It's the way I look at it.
Absolutely. It's our, like I said, it's our creation.
You know, it's like, what's, you know, as a father, the son goes off and he builds a machine. And the father can sit there and say, you know, I don't think you ought to put TNT in that machine. I think it's a little bit high octane for that machine. So the son runs off, ignores his father, and he goes off and he puts TNT in the machine. The machine blows up. Well, I guess he learned a lesson, didn't he? Or did he? Hopefully he learns a lesson. And anybody who's a parent knows that your kids go off and do stupid things all the time. But you know that you can't say anything because they're not going to listen to you. You're the parent. You're the last one that knows anything on this earth. You're just a parent. They know everything. They're a teenager. And the professor in college told them something. They got a degree now. They go off and do stupid things. And then they start learning. What is it they said? That everyone is what do they refer to Democrats? You got the conservatives, and what's the other one? The liberals. Everyone's a liberal when it comes to other people's stuff. But when you have your own stuff to protect and conserve, then you become a conservative. And if you go look at all the Antifas and all these other idiots, now you got these people like you were just mentioning, Biden. You look at all these people, they are still stuck in high school. They have never created anything. They've never manufactured anything. They've never built anything. They've never done anything constructive. All they've done is steal. That's why I said, you know who the honorable people are, because the dishonorable people go into office broke and they come out rich. The honorable people go in there rich and come out broke. I mean, Trump has lost over $1 billion.
Yes.
These offices were not meant for punks. They were not meant for people who are still stuck in high school. Look at their activities. Look at how they speak. Everything is all about show. Everything is about, look, they couldn't speak the truth. They wanted to. It's all to impress. They will say whatever they think will impress at the moment. That's high school crap. They don't do anything. They criticize. They point the finger because it makes them bigger and better. Come on, look at it. You know what happened in high school? It was all about the groupies. It was all about who hung out with who. And if there was somebody who was weak or different, they would point the finger at them and abuse the hell out of them in order to beat themselves up. That's what it's all about. That's why they will never stop. That's why you can't ask for it. This is their MO. They have to find a new victim. They have to beat up on somebody so that you can't, so you'll never look at them. By criticizing others, you focus the attention on them, which keeps the focus off of you. That's their MO. That's their strategy. That's high school stuff. Who's the most popular? Who can be the most popular? One minute you're popular, and then the moment that things turn around, all of a sudden you're not. Look at Cuomo. You know, he gets an award. He writes a book. Oh, he's like the example. Now all of a sudden, uh-oh. He's not popular anymore. You know, the old song about the new guy on the block kind of thing. It's surface. It's garbage. It's teenage stuff. They never grew up. We're talking about Biden. Biden has always been a liar. He's always been a con man. Pelosi has always been a con woman. Most of these people always were. And many of them did get turned. You look at Barr, for instance. He's been dirty from day one. His father is the one that allowed, the child pedophile who allegedly killed himself in jail. What is his name? Epstein.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Epstein. Yeah. His father, Barr's father, is the one that allowed Epstein to come into college in order to do what he did to the young girls and to recruit them.
Oh, that's awful. Oh.
And Barr himself defended the sniper that killed a woman holding a baby, an unarmed woman holding a baby on Ruby Ridge without any lawful activity to kill. Since when are you allowed to kill an American citizen? I've never seen a warrant, a lawful warrant from any court that said shoot him. I've never seen a lawful warrant that said shoot an unarmed woman who's holding a baby. And yet Barr defended that guy, which, by the way, is the same one that shot the two people that worked for Clinton's at Waco, Texas. How many people know that?
Can you repeat that about Waco, Texas? I'm sorry, I was part of it.
I said the same sniper that shot the woman on Ruby Ridge, unarmed, holding a baby, is the same sniper who Barr defended, by the way, is the same sniper that shot the two DEA, alleged DEA agents that were there at Waco that used to be bodyguards for the Clintons.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord.
It's a small...
It sounds like we're living through a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a small group of people. It's like this guy that did the video that I just shared with you on that website. I still haven't watched the whole thing, but I'm watching the interview. He said as he did his research, he started noticing a pattern that Fauci was involved in AIDS. Fauci was involved in this. He says every 3 years or every 5 years, they come up with something, whether it's anthrax or this or that or the other thing or cow manure disease or monkey disease. What every 3 years, he says, they come up, and it's always the same people that have the patents. It's the same people that make all the money. It's the same people promoting it. AIDS is a Fauci disease and a Bill Gates disease. They make money on this. They make money on death. And then they give out money. They pay
yes.
money for the hospitals to kill people. That's what that woman on that on the one that came, the nurse that said, they are purposely killing people, partly because they get paid $15,000. She said how much she was making, like $500 a day, some ridiculous amount in New York. She says, we were empty. There was nobody there. But the people did come in. No matter what they came in for, they were dead. It didn't matter what they came into the hospital for, they were dead because they needed body count. And they were all paid a lot of money. And she said the only reason she stuck around was in order to get videotape of it. But all the videotapes she got, all the witness she got, everything she did is being hidden from the American people because of the public media, which is why, thank God, we're creating our own, which we had the power to do a long time ago. Red Pill 78 has its own website now after they kicked them off of YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and so on. I do.
Excuse me, do you think, we'll,
huh?
you think that Andrew Cuomo with the problems with tweaking, his administration tweaking the nursing home deaths may get into what she discovered at the hospitals?
Oh, yeah. The whole numbers thing? They're finding out that they didn't reveal the true numbers? Well, why do you think there's so many people are coming out with sexual assault things on Cuomo? Because they want them to come out. They've been coming out anyway, but they figured they'd get, because as long as he's going down because of alleged sexual improprieties, they're not looking at him going for murder and treason of murdering 30,000 people.
Right.
Better to
oh,
be
this Texas thing. Oh.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yep, I was wondering why. Okay. Okay.
Better to go down because you're allegedly sexually abused someone. You can get out of that. You can win those. They can fade away. You can bribe them. You can have them knocked off.
That'll go away after a while. But in the meantime, nobody's focused anymore about Cuomo murdering all these people. You know, it's like Hillary said. At this point, what difference does it make? It's like the Supreme Court just said. What difference does it make at this point? It's a moot point. Biden's already in office. What difference does it make? That's what it means when they say it's a moot point. Well, excuse me, it's not a moot point to me. It's not a moot point to 90 million people who voted for Trump. It's not moot for people who believe in the law, even if they didn't vote for Trump. There's a lot of Democrats who are going, I don't care. It's fraud is fraud. It's not a moot point to the people who've lost their loved ones in all these different ones, whether it's Waco or whether it's Kuwait or whether it's Iraq, Iran. What's the one I'm thinking of? The compound. Where was that? Where all
Afghanistan.
The, huh?
Oh, Benghazi.
That's the one I'm thinking of, the Benghazi thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, does anyone know? Now, I hope everybody on this channel knows that was an orchestrated hit. Benghazi was an orchestrated hit. They were paid to do that. But there is something else a lot of people did not know. And that is that the congressman that was there, it was a hit on him. But they were gonna kill him anyway. But he was there because he was delivering a computer server kind of thing, which had in it, because the soldiers that were there, they were down in the basement, they recognized that they weren't just blowing the place up, they were carefully attacking the place, and they were looking for something. And they couldn't figure out what they were looking for. And then they realized that there was a server sitting in the corner in the basement. So they quickly pulled out a thumb drive or something to that effect, and they downloaded some of the stuff that was on the server. What was on that server?
Hillary.
How to build nuclear.
Hillary's stuff, probably.
How to build nuclear weapons. Now, do you remember when Pelosi, when Trump was in office, do you remember when Pelosi was running or was driving around and around and around and around the White House in a black bus, a real nice custom bus, when she was supposed to be on a flight to all these countries over in the West, or the East, rather, I'm sorry, the East. She was going to go to Saudi Arabia. She was going to go here and there. That was on her thing. And by the way, it was going to be on our dime, and she was taking a whole lot of her family with her. But do you know who else she had on that bus with her? A nuclear scientist. In other words, Hillary and all these other people, they were supplying through Benghazi all of the, and remember that they did remember the deal that Obama and all the rest of them, Hillary and all the rest of them had to sign off on in order to do the uranium deal?
Uranium deal, okay. Mm-hmm.
When you learn about the uranium deal was a way actually to where they were making a bunch of money. A lot of money laundered. And it wasn't just giving Russia control over a third of the uranium, but it was they were funneling the uranium to Iraq and the other places in order for them to get the nuclear weapons. And they didn't have the science enough. This is what the whole thing about the war against the Saddam Hussein was so ridiculous. They didn't find anything of any weapons? Of course they didn't. They weren't there. They didn't have a clue how to put one together. So guess what? Hillary made sure they did, or was in the process of doing it. And the governor that was there to deliver the server with all the information on how to build the nuclear weapon at Benghazi got cold feet, and he didn't turn it over to them. So she put together a quick hit. Which, like I said, they were going to hit them. They were going to kill them anyway. You know, this is what they do. They use you and then they kill you. But he got cold feet before he delivered it. He was like, "No, this is crazy. I'm going to be delivering nuclear weapons right into the hands of our enemies."
So he got cold feet. So that's why they were looking for that servant. He was supposed to deliver it, and he got cold feet, and he didn't. So it was a dual job to take him out. That's why they beat him and tortured him and whatnot. He betrayed them. They were ordered to beat him up and do all the terrible things they did to him before they finally killed him. I mean, this stuff has been going on for a long time. It doesn't make it right.
Mm-hmm.
And what Trump did is he exposed it. Look, you know, the stuff that people talk about, oh, poor Flynn. I got a lady in a wheelchair with a dissipating spine. You know, it's turning to mush and all sorts of other stuff. And now the FBI is trying to put her in jail because she told the president of the insurance company over the phone that if you don't do what the court orders you to do, your life is going to be changed because I am going to file a non-commercial lien on you. Or your life is coming to an end. Well, they're taking that as a threat, an interstate threat. And now the FBI is testifying it. The FBI is actually the one who is the complainant. What? But this is what they do. If you look up people like Cox, I can't think of his name again. Forgive me, Lord. You got to pray for him. He's a really great young man up in Alaska. They completely set him up because he was speaking and saying things that were ringing true to people. So the FBI sent somebody there to sell him or try to push on him, and he never bought it, by the way. It was a bold-faced lie. But they tried to sell him a shotgun that was too short, according to the statute, which, once again, I know you're not subject to statute. You can have anything you want, the right to have it to bear arms. You can't put a regulation on it. There's no power in the Constitution for them to regulate what arms you can have. You can have cannons. You can have anything you want. So all that's a lie anyway. But see, he didn't know that part about the law, and I didn't have time to get to him. He's been in jail for, what, 10, 15 years, and he had two kids, two beautiful kids. He's a young guy. He's only like in his 20s. You have, what's his name, Charles Dyer. I was involved in that one. And they literally surrounded that guy so he literally believes that he belongs in jail. He's completely innocent of anything, but he believes he should be in jail now. They have him completely convinced that he's a bad guy and he should be in jail. Well, why did they put him in jail? Because Sheriff Mack, who's a spook, who created Oath Keepers in order to gain control, in order to find out who the people are, etc. That's a whole play. But this guy, Charles Dyer, was a decorated Marine, got out of the Marines, and he was speaking in such a manner and telling the truth, so much so that he was taking away the thunder, he was taking away the control that Sheriff Mack had. And what did you hear recently? And I got to find out who it is, one of the alleged presidents of Oath Keepers was arrested because he was at the Capitol on the 6th. I think that if it's Sheriff Mack that's being arrested, it's just to build him to look good or to get him out of the way and to get him out of Oath Keepers because his mission is done. You've got to go look at the term ContelPro, and right in there describes what they've been doing since the 40s and 50s and 60s. Who do you think killed Kennedy? Who do you think set it up? Who do you think had the motorcade come around a tight corner that you had to slow down to 15 miles an hour? And why did he stay continuously slow through that whole section? That was a coordinated effort between all sorts of people. This is nothing new. The deep state's been here for a long time. What Trump did is he exposed it. What happened to Flynn, what happened to Stone, that's been happening to still people in jail.
Carl, I heard this prophecy that someone said that General Flynn should be careful that someone could get to him through the back door or something like that. We should be praying for him. But then they tried something else to take him out or something, or damage his reputation or something.
All right, let's do that then. Okay, Lord, we come again. We come. You've heard our conversation. And we pray that the words that I've spoken fall upon the proper hearts and the right brain cells, and that they put two to two together and get invigorated and invigorate others to institute something to the effect of CCT that will eliminate these things, these people in office that are without any ability or any competency, and they're betrayer. And Lord, we lift up General Flynn, we lift up Flynn and his whole family once again, that anything that would be coming against him through the back door, front door, anywhere else, he would be protected. And in fact, I'm going to go one step further, Lord. I'm going to ask that all of those that would be conspiring, including those allegedly taking the action, would not only be caught, but they would turn, that they would be turned and let you be glorified as a result of it. Lord, I'm asking that you put the fire in their belly, that they would see you or see an angel, and that they would be turned, and that they would fall on their knees and worship you and praise you and give their lives over to you and repent for what they were about to do, and that they would then turn and be a witness against all those that were further up, that put them up to it and paid them. And Lord, we ask that the protection around General Flynn and his whole entire family, and in all things, let your will be done. So shall it be. In agreement then, in Christ's name, it is so. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So, Colin, will you be back next Thursday, right?
I have every reason to believe that I will be.
Oh, good. Okay. So, with that, what do you think? Did you want to go on, or did you want to close? Or we can save some for next Thursday.
This goes on. It all depends upon people, whether they have questions they want answered before I go.
Anybody? Mm-hmm. No problem. Anybody have questions?
I have a question. What do you think of what Lynn Wood has released with this so-called sworn testimony and, I guess, affidavit from a whistleblower, alleging things about Chief Justice John Roberts and different things like that?
I haven't seen anything of it yet. Send me the links. I'd be glad to look at it. But all I know is any evidence that comes forward is great. It's wonderful. And the only question I ask is he going to be prosecuted for the crimes?
Okay, I'll send you the information. Okay, thank you.
Excellent, yeah. Any other questions or comments?
It's just amazing the shock of these corrupt leaders or whatever they are.
Yeah, they're demons.
And most of us, we the people, are so trusting,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you heard my prayer before. We have a right to be dumb, stupid, ignorant, and even lazy. By law, it does not give anyone the right to take advantage or abuse or anything else. But as adults, we learn that it is full of evil. And I want to share something else, and this is not going to be easy for a lot of people. I used to step in, and I still do from time to time when God leads me, to different prayer calls in different states. And I would literally jump in and yell loud enough to be over, to be heard over. When people cast out, bound up, or cast out something, and they fail to finish the process to replace. So I kept doing this. It just seemed to constantly happen all the time. And so I'm in the kitchen talking to myself, so to speak, and arguing myself with spirit there. And I'm like, well, it says in scripture, don't offend your brother. And I feel like I'm offending people by constantly jumping in on their calls, on their prayer calls, blah, blah, blah. So I go back and forth, you know, yeah, but this and that, da-da-da. And I know what Scripture says. Scripture says that if you fail to replace it, seven demons worse than before will come in. And it would be better that you had left that one demon in there. So finally I got through arguing with myself. I asked God, I said, well, okay, Lord, what do you say? And the Spirit simply said this, do the math. So I was like, what do you mean by that? And he just said, do the numbers. I'm like, okay. So I go in there, I sit down at the computer, and I look at the how, what is the total population of Christians in the world? And what I did is I took 1%, not 10%, not 20, not 50, not 40, 1%. And I didn't do it for 2,000 years. I did it for 100 years. I did the math. Do you know what the number came out? That the number of demons that we, the Christians, have loosed on this earth by failing to finish the process of replacing that empty space with Holy Spirit. Anyone got a clue what that number is? 6 trillion. Six trillion. That's with 1% for only 100 years. So if we went to 10%, that would be 60 trillion. Are you seeing the numbers? If we did it for 1,000 years, it'd be 600 trillion. It's no wonder we are swimming in demons. That means we, as Christians, have a big job to do. We need to cast out all those demons and make sure we replace it with Holy Spirit.
Right.
As Julian Assange said, and I couldn't believe it, but I had to. Julian Assange said 98% of those in public office are corrupt. Not 98.
That is shocking. Oh my gosh. That's frightening.
I believe.
But now you understand the grace of God. Now you understand the grace of God. Now you understand the power that Christ gave us. We have the power.
Yes.
We need to start exercising that power.
I know for myself, I stopped just voting, you know, once I got the wisdom to know. You don't just vote people into office. Even though now I know my vote card doesn't even count.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not just vote for a person because they say I'm running. And I go and I educate myself to see what they believe.
Right.
What they stand for. What are they, you know.
And how do you gauge that? Do you read the articles about what they say? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about that?
What does the Bible say about?
Yeah. How does the Bible tell you to evaluate somebody?
The integrity.
And how do you determine integrity?
By what they do. I go by
what they do. There you go.
The action.
And by the company they keep.
Right.
So you find out what have they done, not what they say they've done, not what other people say they've done. What have they done?
I don't go by what they say. I go by what they, their actions.
Perfect. Beautiful. And with that, I'm going to give you something really good. When I did a little bit of research, and some other people did research, they were coming up to me and telling me these stories about Trump, which you don't hear anywhere. Trump doesn't, you know, people always talk about him tooting his horn. He doesn't toot his horn about these things. Do you know that he has had a black woman living in one of his places, in one of his hotels, for like 15 years?
I believe a lot of people, they don't, I don't even know why people say they don't like him. They don't even, you know what I say to them when they say that? I said, when he was on The Apprentice, why did you all like him? But what is it that changed?
Yep. And then there was a story.
The world,
it was
being friend with Hillary and all of them, yeah. You're okay with them, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Now you know exactly who they are.
Yeah.
And they don't like him.
No. Because they have been programmed. They have been programmed.
Right.
They have been conditioned because they listen to the mainstream media that says it over and over and over again. And Hitler said, if you repeat a lie enough times, now, if you repeat it enough times and you have subliminal programming under the digital stuff, you're really screwed now. Because they're repeating the same thing over and over, and it doesn't matter where you go. You change your channel, it says the same thing. Well, you know, if one channel's saying it, then it might be a lie, but if all of them are saying it, you see how beautiful and how smart they are? Get control of all of the media.
Just like with this vaccine, you know, I just laugh at the media, because every few minutes on the local news you're hearing, oh, now we can do this, now we can do this, right? Because everybody's going to get, I said, okay. Listen to the lies they tell, and the people are falling for it.
Yep. Well, wait a minute. What were most of them saying? Any vaccine that Trump has anything to do with, I'm not taking it. Who's the first one that was butting in line to get to it?
And now Biden is saying vaccine, and they're all running for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're listening to the liars more so than somebody who's got their back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
And because they don't have God, because they don't have God, they don't have the Holy Spirit to confirm all things to them, do they?
Well, I say a lot of them are like Thomas. You know, Thomas didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Until he had to, you know. So I said, that's how a lot of these people are. They're like Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
They have to see before they believe.
Well, here's the thing I said earlier, and I don't even believe it came out of my mouth, but I heard it because God was obviously saying it. I didn't intend to say it, but it came out. At the very beginning, I said, we are not trusting God to keep us healthy. We're trusting vaccines.
I'm trusting God to keep me.
Well, that's what I mean.
Always. And I know two people who took the vaccine. One got pneumonia. They were in the hospital. They probably came out this week. And another one, when she took the first, because she's supposed to get the second, whatever, her blood pressure has been up. And she said, my blood pressure has never been this. And I said, I kept saying, what did you do different? Because her blood pressure just rose like that. And I said, she took that vaccine
because
her doctor recommended it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, because she doesn't know her doctor's getting a check.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a wonder she made it out of the hospital alive.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about the Cecil K. V. Trust. The doctors will make you sick, sick, sick. You get in the hospital, they get you sick, or one of these old folks' homes, whatever you want to call it. And what they do is they get you to sign a document, and you don't even know what that document says. I've read it. You're signing away your Cecil K. V. Trust, which is worth about $6.2 billion. That's what I mean when I say, I haven't given you all that information yet because that's not pertinent. But now that we're in after hours, each and every one of us there's an account. And each and every one of us has a credit account of about $6.2 billion. So when you sign an instrument, that's how you pay for things because you're a creditor. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say I owe you $1,000. Can you borrow $100 from me? No, you're going to discharge that $100 against the $1,000 that I owe you, aren't you?
Right.
And you're going to sign a piece of paper. And that's what's going on. The only difference is that when you sign the piece of paper and you give it to them, they discharge it and they get paid on it. But then they pretend like you're a debtor, so you have to pay it again and again and again. And then they charge you interest. Because the people cannot conceive of the fact that they are not debtors.
They can't conceive of the fact that we're creditors. They can't conceive of the fact that we are worth much more than $6.2 billion, but at the very least, that's what we have. Because we have a slave mentality. We're debtors. We have to work all the day. What does it say in the Bible? For your sake, you shall work by the sweat of your brow. It's for your sake that we work. I've proven this. Hey, look, I've proven this stuff I talk about. I was in downtown D.C., the only white boy for 50 blocks, in a bad neighborhood called One Way Alley, 17th place northeast, if anyone knows D.C. And I was hiring drug dealers that were used to making $10,000 a week, and I was paying them $7 an hour. Why would they work for a white man for $7 an hour? It doesn't make any sense. And I'll give you a clue. For one thing, they all said they'd never seen anyone work so hard. They said, it makes me tired just watching you work. And the second reason is they had respect for me, and I didn't take any crap from them. And the third thing is because I cared enough about them to tell them the truth. And I was giving them a skill that they didn't have. They already knew how to drug deals. And here's what I said. I told them that they're already successful. No one ever told them that before. I said, you guys are already successful. They wouldn't mean. I said, well, don't you have to go get the drug? Yeah. And you have to check its purity, right? Yeah. And then you have to cut it, right? You can't cut it too much. Can't cut it too little. Then you have to package it. And then you have to have runners to go and sell it. And then you have to have collections for the people who don't pay. And then you have to go after the guys that are trying to steal it from you that are supposed to be your runners. And then you got to get a new runner. And then you have to set aside enough to buy your new batch. And then you have to make sure that's quality. And then you have to cut it the right way. And you have to package it again. And then you have to send it right. And they looked at me like, how do you know all this? I said, because I've been watching you. I said, you are successful businessmen and you just don't even know it. All you have to do is change your product and keep proper records and you'll be successful businessmen. You're already successful. They scratched their head. They never heard that before. Now you ought to see how they stood up. Now they're somebody. That's all they ever wanted to be, was somebody. All they wanted to do was be successful or be somebody, be something of worthy. And I just showed them that they didn't even know that they're trying to get something they already have. So I said, come with me and let's learn another skill. Because what are you doing with your money? You're blowing it away. You're throwing it away on drugs. You're throwing it away on prostitutes. You're throwing it away on alcohol. You're throwing it away on everything. You guys make $10,000 a week. Do you know the building that I have right here? This cost me $20,000. 2 weeks, you could buy this building. But you wouldn't know what to do with the building. That's why you don't value it, because you don't know what you can do with that building. Come on, I'm going to show you. And then I taught them the skills of how to do different things. Everything from, you know, sanding, paintings, tile work, to roofing, to everything. And what's really funny, though, none of them like to get up on a roof. They are scared to death. These big, huge, badass men that would shoot you in an instant, cut you up pieces, and yet they wouldn't get on a roof. He ain't even going to climb a ladder. And then I took all of them. I took a van full of them out because we had a roofing job that would actually pay some money. Everything was on my dime. I said, well, I need to go make some money so I can pay you guys. So I said, come on, let's go. We're going to go do a job, a roofing job, like, you know, $4,000 or $5,000. And with a good crew, we could do it in 3 days. So we go out, and guess where we're going to? Germantown, all white neighborhood. These guys have never been in a white neighborhood in their life. They were so scared. They were like little puppy dogs. They were scared to death. They were shivering and shaking. I mean, physically scared to death, looking out of both sides. They were waiting to be mobbed. They were waiting to be lynched. They got up on that roof so fast, you wouldn't believe. Because being up on the roof meant they were safe. And they were so shocked and so surprised when a white woman comes out of the house with a tray full of lemonade. They thought that maybe it was poison or something. I had to drink it first. Literally. And the woman is talking to them like they're regular old people. Because they are regular old people. They're the only ones that thought that they weren't regular old people because they've been taught and trained through the society that they lived in that they were different. White man bad. They've been taught this their whole lives. They don't know any different. Just like people are taught that they're taxpayers. They don't know any different. And then when we got done with the job, they began to relax. And the beautiful thing was to watch these children grow. They were grown men, but they were children. And they relaxed and they felt safe for the first time in their lives. They didn't want to leave the neighborhood now. And when we got done, I used to get on their asses for this and that and the other thing. And I got them all together at the base, and I'm looking up at the roof, and I kind of played on them. I said, "You see that?" I'm like, "Oh shoot, what did we do? What's wrong, boss?" They always say, "Boss," I said, "Don't call me boss. I'm not your boss." But they always did it because half of them been in jail a number of times, right? I go, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And I said, "Do you see that?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I said, I looked at them dead in the eye, and I said, "You did that." They were like, "What?" I said, "You did that. That's your work. And nobody can ever take that away from you." And I'm telling you, you should have seen the chest puff out. They walked with pride and they were silent. They took it in. They got it. Their lives were never the same. And statistically speaking, 30% of them should have been dead. And I'm proud to say that one of them actually I sent to school. And he was working at the Pentagon. We only had one guy shot and still alive. And none of them have been able to go back to drug dealing because they can no longer view things the way they viewed things before. And the whole reason is because they've never seen another side. And if you think about it, that's what we do when we give Christ to people. When we show Christ to people, they see another side. They are loved first for who they are. They were respected. That's the first thing I did. And trust me, I was following spirit. I mean, yeah, I've got my own ideas and so on, but mostly following spirit. First thing I did was I gave them the real respect. Not at the point of a gun, not because they were badass, because you were successful. You're successful businessmen. That's what God shows us. God shows that he loves us first. Even when we don't love ourselves. And then we learn how to love ourselves. And once we learn how to love ourselves, then we can begin to love others. And so anyway, thank you, Lord, for that word. Praise you, Lord. So to put it in the words of a good friend of mine, he said, Have you had enough pain? Have you learned all these lessons? Do you want to try something different? Let's try something different. Let's try doing something different. You know? Let's kick evil out. Let's stay in honor. Let's stay in prayer. Let's manifest. Let's create. Let us give glory to God. Well, let's see what happens. We can always go back to the garbage that we were in before.
Thank you for being on the call tonight and that sharing that beautiful story. That was really neat.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me have a way to speak and inspiring me. God, mm-hmm. You guys inspire me. So thank you. Thank you.
Yes. We learned from you a lot about what you just told us. And I'm sorry I missed your story about Biden was bragging about his stuff. Voter force is one of the best, the most voter force in American history because I left my phone for a minute. I was going to talk to my husband for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out, I heard, okay. It's amazing the story about those children. I never had that in my thought because I experienced it different. Okay, but now I can think that if you understand, then maybe you can see the other side of there. So what I saw was a lot of stolen, a lot of jumping over the counter to make the cashier open the register, And in my own eye, I was sitting at Crusader to wait for my turn for a dentist. And a Hispanic young lady was sitting to her mom in Spanish because I assumed that her mom didn't know how to speak English. I was going to nursing school, so I was reading my textbook. And suddenly that African-American jumped over the Hispanic girl and pulled her long hair and beat her. And I was all suddenly, I said, stop, stop, stop. I just couldn't do anything, so I had my purse and my book. And then suddenly a whole bunch of African-American people who worked there came in. They didn't say anything until the security guard came in and they start saying the Hispanic lady, young lady was starting first, but with my own eye, they were so different. I was so disgusting that my second time observed such an unfair thing, the side thing. So I saw many things, like people were parking their cars to put gas in their left, the other side door not locked. So some young man, they were sneaking out, got in and took the purse and ran away to another car. Somebody took off with him. And that made me different, same thing. Because, you saw with your own eye so many things. I know white people, they are bad too, but not as many. And I saw them also wrapping a police officer when they stopped them. And then suddenly they stabbed on the jet and the two officer on the hanging with the driver's side door or grab them. Oh my God, I've seen so much that. But tonight you say something that makes me think differently. Okay, thank you.
Well, Lord, we lift this woman up and just thank you for her. And thank you for opening up her eyes and seeing, and thank you for being there at the right time and speaking up at the right moment. And I just ask extra protection and blessings upon her and her family. And all that she comes in contact with. I ask in Christ's name, so. You in agreement, Christ's name, is so. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Oh, is there anything else? So we could end. You want to end in prayer, Colin?
It works for me.
Everybody, yeah.
Go ahead.
And everybody bring more, go over the material and bring questions for the next Thursday.
Yeah. Or conversation, we want to braise or whatever.
And conversation, yeah.
And anything that needs praying for, that's what we're here for.
Amen. Absolutely correct. What's that noise?
I'm wondering what that noise is.
I think it's a sewing machine.
Oh, is that what it is?
Sewing machine. I don't know what it is, but it's not me.
Okay.
All right. Lord, thank you for this time together, and thank you for these people, and thank you for giving me the words, and allow it to work on the people's hearts, and let next Thursday bring in all the people that you want. And we thank you for your abundance. We thank you for your love. And just thank you for everything. In Christ's name, it is so.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the time that Colin put into this, all the research he did, and please bless him in his life as he is seeking to help so many others and to bring our government back to the proper relationship it should be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, inshallah.
Amen. Thank you all you did. Thank you all you have.
Yes, Colin, we appreciate you.
Sorry, I'm losing my voice now. Oh, God is good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good night, everybody. Take care.
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Oh,
have a wonderful day. And
good night. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Thank you, Lupu, for hosting.
Yes.
Lupu, for hosting. Thank you, thank you.
Oh, Colin, no problem. It's been awesome. Thank you so much for you.
All right, thank you. Good night, everyone, and blessing.
Sure. Good night.
Good night.